Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
The question I have is, these dream jobs, are they because you need to have money or because you really like them? Because technically, you know, I mean...
Because you need to have money. If I didn't need to have money...
No, but that's the difference. Like, a dream job to me would be owning people. Owning people. Owning people. I'm not sure what they would do, but I would want to own people. Owning people. Owning people.
Four score and 7 years ago, Rob's forefathers had an idea.
Owning people. Owning people. I'm not sure what they would do, but I would want to own people. Owning people. Owning people. I'm too busy to get things done in general, so by owning people, you could have them do it for you. Owning people. Owning people. Your dream job to me would be owning people. Owning people.
Dream on, little dreamer, dream on. Dream on, little dreamer, dream on. I get a heart full of butterflies looking into your dreamy eyes. Dream on, little dreamer, dream on.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in show.
Welcome!
Gastric bypass surgery where we've lost a thread. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Want to be part of the magic? You can. 877-744-6405. Instant Messenger, Messenger Chris, Messenger Rob, Messenger Brian. All that. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, as I've just said. I'm going to be here with you for, I'm going to say, approximately 3 hours, give or take. My name's Chris. I'll be one of your co-hosts this evening. As I look across the table, I see one of my other co-hosts, one of my best friends of my entire life, one of the most important people to me and to you. His name is Keith.
Hey, best friend.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say one of.
I trust that they know how long we're on the air, so I'm not gonna sell our listeners short.
You were just gonna say bore them with the nonsense that I do, weren't you? You were just about to attack me, lambast me, and make me feel like a jerk.
No, I was gonna say I'm not gonna to make them wish that their ears were bleeding into Deafblivion.
Nice. I'm a big fan of Deafblivion. You know who was one of the all-star MCs on the Deafblivion compilation? That was MC Brown. Hi, buddy.
Hello, friends. How are you?
Real enthusiastic tonight.
Yes. Hi, Brian.
How are you, Keith?
I'm good.
How about yourself, Chris?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Great?
I'm doing terrific.
Great? Really? Are you doing great?
I'm having one of the better days I've had of today.
Chris, I mean, this might be a sad state of affairs, not only of just your personal being or just maybe being in general. When was the last time that you've actually felt great? Like, has anyone ever felt great ever life?
I think a lot of people feel great fairly often. I think the last time that I...
Great?
Sure. There are a lot of... no disrespect to any of you out there that may be listening to the sound of our voices here on Heroes Talk. I think there are a lot of real simple people out there that are really easily pleased. Little trinkets that'll do things for them, watching their favorite TV show and maybe having a brewski. Like, that's all they really need in the world, and they'll be happy. You know, I feel great during football season. I feel great.
Okay, there you go. Do you really feel great? Or are you like, one of your needs being satisfied and therefore you're kind of preoccupied with, like, do you ever actually feel great? Like, do you physically go, oh my God, this is what a great...
So where we're going with this is that there's no such thing as actual pleasure, just satiation of general desires.
Yeah, it's different degrees of lack of pain, basically. That's all it is. The amount that you're not suffering is the amount that you enjoy.
On a day-to-day, I would agree for the most part, but on on football, like I feel great about football. That first day of the football season when football starts, not the Thursday, the real day that football starts, I feel great. I feel excited.
Your entire body, your mind, body, soul, everything is great.
It feels terrific. It feels pretty good.
I don't think I've ever felt great. I'm pretty sure I've never felt great in my entire life.
What about the first football Sunday?
Do you ever feel great sometimes when you look and say, "Wow, the executive producer of my show it's Robert."
What's going on, fellas?
Hanging out. Talking about being great.
Hey, Rob. Oh,
I feel great.
Do you ever feel great?
Today, I feel great.
Why don't you tell us why, Robert?
Well, like the gentleman to my right of me, I'm also unemployed right now.
Oh, wow.
What
do you mean?
Well.
Today was the last day of your old job.
Well, see, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, my new job starts Monday, and I left my last day of my job was today for my old job.
Amateur.
So technically right now, I'm unemployed.
So you only gave yourself a couple of days off, 2-3 days off?
Yeah, I wish it was longer, but I had no choice.
Most people, yeah, usually give themselves like a nice week buffer between
year
jobs.
And a half.
Exactly. Well, that's what I think you should do. But, yeah, no, I never cut myself shorter than a week. I always want to give myself a week to really just try and enjoy some me time.
I think we're talking about this, though. I had this job for 10 years. It's not like every few years I'm, you know.
Well, the more, then take two.
Yeah.
You know what? Take 2 weeks on me. It's on the show. We got it for you.
But I'm going to be on vacation in 2 weeks anyway. So I start this new job for 2 weeks, and then I'm off for a week.
Well, all right. Well, I mean, I guess that's a way to show that you really take it seriously and you care. Congratulations.
Government job, huh?
Union, at least.
Like the gentleman to the left of me, I don't think it's a big surprise to anyone that I'm unemployed as well. So this week I decided to start trying to figure out, because I've wasted enough time. I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? Is it going to be something like, you know, is it going to be something like school? Like what am I going to do to take advantage of this time? And everyone says, oh, you know what? You lost a job you didn't like. You should take advantage of finding a job doing something you love, even if it's not that much money. So my whole thing is like, okay, great, but I don't know how to do that. You know, like,
what do you mean?
People say, like, hey, man, you were making this much at that job. You could probably make, you could probably easily get a job, like, working at a radio station or something doing that. But, like, you know, the bottom line is, it's not easy to do these things. You know,
you don't, I mean? Don't you have connections, though, from when you used to work at the Q104 in New York here when you were the big – you were like the morning drive for them, right?
I was the morning – what was my title? Was it morning – oh, no, it was intern.
Right. Well, that's the same thing. But you didn't make any
it was intern who one out of 2 days a week, my job was to sit home and listen to Howard Stern and write down when he went to commercial.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. And half the time I fell asleep and just fudged it.
Wow. So basically he shows up late to his job at home.
Sometime between 6 and 10-ish. He broke a couple of those between 6 and 10.
Yeah, so now I was I did a decent job there. I was complimented on my job there.
Well, I don't think anyone here is saying you did a bad job at the queue.
I think you sucked, actually. I think you did a horrible job.
But there was no job to be had there, so I left early.
But I'm saying, but didn't you – I mean, you didn't make any contacts in the biz?
I definitely hit on contacts a couple – not hit on, like, hit on. Like, hey, baby, what's going on? Like,
nice contacts.
I definitely hit the spot a couple times while I was there.
All right. Congratulations. Congratulations.
But yeah, no, I have no radio connections, so I have no connections to anything. So I'm thinking, all right, like, I don't want this time to go by that, like, all of a sudden my unemployment insurance ends and then, like, here I am, like, I've done nothing to improve.
Can I just point out one quick thing to you, if I could? I happen to know for a fact that you are friends with someone that is Facebook friends of Pitsy, former producer for the Ron and Fez show. So, I mean, like, you have radio ins. Giggs has him in his friends list. I saw him there.
I actually have him in my friends list, too. I'm sure he's he's knocking down doors to get me a job right now.
I'm sure.
I think that was his last status update now. Something about getting me a job. But,
Well, it's not easy to get any job these days.
Exactly, and that's the other thing. It's
so,
like,
you might as well put that on your list. Like, that. Make that the job that you're not going to get. Like, go start putting your resumes out to radio shows.
Well, actually, that's a good question. You said it's you guys are saying it's hard to not, you know, to get a job these days.
I think. I'm not sure. I haven't looked yet.
Well, that was my question, is how many jobs formally were you declined since looking?
You go. Formally declined meaning?
You applied. You applied.
Usually I apply.
And they didn't get back to you.
Usually I apply for jobs and they don't get back to me. So
yeah, that counts.
Oh, that counts? Yeah. Oh, upwards of 100.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it or not, as lazy as I am, I do apply for jobs.
You applied for 100 jobs, and how many have called you back?
I got 2 decline letters from hotels saying that at this point I had no experience.
Wow. 98 people left you open-ended on an application.
Just about. And I don't even know how many of them are real jobs, because this is all on the internet.
Yeah, it's probably,
you know,
email,
like,
these days.
I did actually 5 of them did get back to me with special offers for, like, penis enlargement pills after I gave them my email address and, like, wrote out a cover letter and sent a resume.
Dude, the days are different now. If you are basically cold calling through the internet looking for a job, so much of it is just sending out information into the ether. You will never hear back from such a large percentage of it. It's all about numbers.
Wow.
You just gotta hit everyone that you can possibly can and hope that someone responds back to you with a no.
Hunting was always, you'd get the Times and you would fax actual cover letters and resumes out to jobs from the Times.
Not really anymore. The Times doesn't even have a big job section anymore because of that.
They have an online job section.
Right. It's all pretty much internet-based. But like I said, if you want to get, like, ads for Viagra, then go on, like, Craigslist.
Well, you'd Monster and stuff like that.
Maybe I shouldn't have put impotent on my resume. Oh.
What? I think you're a very important person. It's good for you.
So so I'm deciding, all right, so I'm going to have to, you know, forgetting about, I don't know how this extension thing's going to work, but I'm going to have to figure this out by a certain time. Then I open up a letter, which I received yesterday from the Department of Labor, saying, because on so-and-so date, you called out of your job but did not call back and speak directly to someone, we are disqualifying you from further receiving any unemployment insurance.
Again?
Fight it.
When?
Again. A couple days ago. So because I called a place that just doesn't feel the need to pick up the phone half the time and twice was put on hold by somebody, I was like, oh, sure, and probably just threw the phone.
And this wasn't part of your initial, like, unemployment date when the letter they wrote, your company said, here, this is why we're trying to screw this guy. Because you said this from the beginning, from day one, you said,
I said,
I know,
the only thing I could possibly think
and
of.
And they're coming out with this now?
And now they're coming out with this.
They're just fighting it. They're filling paperwork.
So now the next step is I have to ask for a hearing if I want
it. Yeah, do it. Do it.
Why wouldn't you?
I will.
Ah, too much trouble. I can't reach down and get that plug under the table. I can't be bothered. Oh, the remote control's all the way over there? I'll just watch static. No problem.
So now I'm back.
By the way, that's my new Keith impersonation. I'm working on it. I don't think it's there yet.
So now I'm back in the... Now I've gone back to the position of now trying to figure out... Because now, as you know, as long as this hearing is going to take, like now I'm just kind of like cruising along and they tell you, you know, keep certifying your benefits and stuff. So now like part of me is thinking like, you know...
So part of your job now is to keep doing this thing every week that you're not going to get paid for, maybe.
Yeah, there's a possibility that all this will end and they'll rule in their favor. But it's a slim possibility. I mean, you would think that they're...
Yeah, your time on the job and, you know, that little... anything to put a spoke in the wheel, so to speak, they, I think you won't have a problem with it. I think if you take it to court... Well, not court. It's a hearing. It's mediators, maybe, at best. You'll be all right.
Yeah, fight it. You'll.
But and here's the thing: you're not going to get a check, and then they're going to wind up having to give you a retro for it back from when.
Which
you
is what happened. Which is what happened last time.
I'm going to say, don't try. I'd say, don't try and fight. I'd say, just accept defeat. I'd say, accept defeat and don't try, because if you don't try, you can't fail. So congratulations.
How much time do you have left on this anyway? Say it goes through. Like, what is your? Because you know. You have that date in mind, like going, all right,
sometime in September.
What about, well, Brian, you never filed, right?
I still haven't started, yeah.
Well, that's that whole, you know.
I'm still kind of getting money, so I could, if I really wanted to, file unemployment and then.
It's more complicated for him, though, because while he's still getting money now, some weeks he has to, you know, submit the amount of money he made and all that. It's probably better off once he's told that's it.
Paid from the same job.
That's right. I mean,
so that further, I think, may complicate it.
Right. I mean, the same person who's going to be writing out the check to me for the work that I did for him last week is also writing out the paperwork saying, oh, he doesn't work here. So it's kind of weird.
Is it tears or freckles?
They're supposed to be tears. They're supposed to be tears. I mean, at the very least, if you do have a – now that you, I guess, don't have to spend all that time filing your unemployment benefits, which takes, what, 30 to 40 seconds a week, I think. Now that you have that extra time, maybe you could spend a lot more time hanging out on Pal Talk, hanging out on HeroesTalk.com, and making it for movie nights every Wednesday here on HeroesTalk.com.
What's it pay?
It pays zero. It pays about the same that you're making now, so it would be a lateral move for you from not doing it to doing it.
It's a raise from your last job.
I don't know if I'm reading this feedback correct in the chat room, but Molter says, I heard on the radio that Facebook profile holds weight on these job hunts. So when you're applying, they're going to try to find you on Facebook and see what you're about.
Well, that's why you make everything private to people that aren't your friends. That's always the best bet on any of these social networking sites is to make,
but
make
I do,
it private.
I do know for a fact, though, that your main profile picture is you holding your titties out to the camera. So, I mean, that does pop up no matter what.
Yes. It's a small picture, though.
Yes, employers definitely do, some definitely do use the internet and all their tools, including social networking sites, to dig a little bit behind the
or like our friend Ken from New Jersey, otherwise known as DJ Newstyle, says, or don't use your last name, as his Facebook profile of Ken Newstyle or Ken DJ Newstyle would attest. Yeah.
Or don't have a Facebook
profile. That's just totally floored me, though. I'm thinking, wow, that's right. You could... And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't realize that, and they read and they see all their pictures of their crazy parties. Crazy stuff.
I'm just kind of wondering myself, how do you like how do I avoid
working?
Well, no, I've tried
the rest
that.
Of my life.
How do you avoid like falling back? Like I kind of envision this happening now. I kind of envision myself taking the new dead end job. And like I don't see in like when with the way the job market is right now, I don't see any hope other than doing something like that. So it's almost like if something like that comes up now, I almost, as much as you're probably right, you know, that to the point where like after a hearing they probably wouldn't hold back my unemployment, but at this point, I'm thinking it's something that, regardless of whether I get a check every week, September's going to come and go pretty soon anyway. And like, I almost feel like I'm in a position where I can't turn down. You know, like I can't really, I can't turn down a job just because of a few weeks of a check.
No, you probably wouldn't turn down a job if someone offered it to you, regardless of how crappy it was. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, hopefully you'd be able to realize that you're taking this crappy job and maybe only temporarily.
Not get stuck what
is the most crappiest job you've applied for out of those hundreds? What would you rate as far as that? You can't believe, like, all right, I'm going to try and see.
Stocking shelves in a wine store. In the East Village of Manhattan.
Ooh. Sounds like a good job.
You got to commute for that, too.
Stocking shelves in a store that's open till 1 in the morning, and it was the night shift. Like, so working for like 3 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the East Village in a wine store for probably like $9 an hour.
You really don't think that you can get a stock boy job on Staten Island if
I'm
you wanted to?
I'm talking about a specific job that I was denied.
But I'm saying, on Staten Island, you've tried stock boy jobs. If you're really willing to go that no disrespect, depth of what you're willing to apply for. You don't think you can get a stock boy job on Staten Island?
A former boss of mine that I've worked with a bunch of times at different jobs, and he's sort of a relative, but he is managing a store around the corner from my house right now. And I saw him, and he just can't hire anyone either. He's like, look, he's got to let people go. So it's just,
at least he responded to you, though.
Well, this was before I even knew this. This was in a conversation. He told me, he's like, I'll let you know if I have anything, but, like, you know, I have to let some of these people go. You know, it's job market's rough out there, guys.
Yeah, you know what? I would understand the job market being rough on like some sort of corporate job and stuff. Shelves still need to be stocked.
And you know who's stocking them?
What's that?
Tall people. That's the problem.
Okay, we can buy you stilts. I say we get you stilts and you can
train
taller.
I went into CVS the other day, and the gathering behind the counter looked like I was like, oh, it looks like there's all types of district managers here. It's all guys, you know, like wearing ties in their 40s. No, these guys are stock boys.
People are so, you got to suck up and deal when the going gets tough. You got to take jobs that you might not take in other situations.
And a lot of people don't want the unemployment because a lot of people, you know, to me, the unemployment check was very similar to what I was making. So it's not that big a deal at all, but to other people, it's a decline of who even knows what percent. You know, you could be taking home 10 times less per week in that unemployment check.
Maybe I can dig you up a job in bread, one of my old jobs. Get up to fight and wait.
He can't drive.
Oh,
he doesn't drive.
That's right.
I'll walk the bread anyway. I don't care.
Yeah,
he can't be a delivery. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't have to stock bread under the table.
There's things that you might have to do, like get a license if you wanted to just be a delivery guy.
Exactly. For
like
a pizza place, you don't think you can get a job as a delivery guy at a police? Well, I guess you would need to have a car and a license. But once you get that, you just need a couple dollars to go do that.
Oh. So anyway, that's what I wonder about these days.
Well, I mean, don't – just because September is just around the corner, don't let the man argue you out of the money that you deserve. I mean, that's the reason why they're doing it. I'm sure they're playing a numbers game. They're going to file these sort of complaints with 100% of the people that are filing unemployment and hope that a certain percentage of them just doesn't bother to chase it down. Like, it sounds like it's not legitimate. In your mind, it's not legitimate. Probably in reality, it has nothing, you know, it's just them playing a numbers game.
Right.
So don't let them win. At the very least, let them fight for it. And I bet you they won't fight for it. They'll just see that you're responding and they'll say,
but the thing is, they've already fought for it twice now. This is the second
this
time
they're
going through the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they are dedicated to it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that you quit. Fight the good fight, of course.
The next step is showing up. The next step is now them taking a bunch of people out of their day and showing up somewhere. But, I mean, which I'm sure they will. I'm convinced that the actual argument goes in my favor.
Yeah, because you know what? Because the argument's about not showing up. So they're banking on you based upon being lazy to begin with.
Yeah, just do it. I mean, you know, at this point it's kind of free money because if you let it go, it's just going to run out anyway.
Right.
So you just have to say – yeah, the worst case scenario, they'll tell you no, you know. But I have a feeling it's.
I think they're going to weigh how much job looking you've done, and I don't know how that whole works as far as how you go on record saying I applied for 5 this week, 10.
That's an entirely different.
That has no validity as to whether he is disqualified for his past stuff.
I still think if they look at him as a slacker, that just sitting there taking their money, that they're gonna profile him a little differently.
I'm sure there's a little bit of that intent behind them doing it. Like they kind of are working on the guilt complex of the people getting taken advantage of, thinking, well, I'm not really looking that hard, so I probably shouldn't fight for it anyway. No, Chris is right. That has nothing to do with that.
I've already shown up, you know, to the as being one of the random people called to come in and go through the job training thing of this. So, and I have to go back for that. That's going to be the fun day, having to go back and sit through that while I don't have any check coming.
What did you learn? What did you learn from the drug suits that hasn't happened?
Don't go naked or drunk.
Okay. Well, those are two very good points.
Unless you're applying to be a drunken naked dancer.
Hey, I learned the same thing in defensive driving.
Well, anyway, so that's
fight the power.
That's my sob story of the week.
Hey, it got me a good topic for the beginning of my painting, so I'm very happy about it. So it
and where can you find these paintings, Chris?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I would just go look on the blog, maybe blog.heroestalk.com or I don't know. Yeah, it's probably the best one. Or RadioBronzeFans.com. I try and post them all over the place. All those magical things here from Best in Show, BestinShowRadio.com that you can be a part of if you so choose. 877-744-6405, Pal Talk, Heroes Talk Radio Room, and just on HeroesTalk.com. All that stuff where we do lots of things. As I started alluding to early, we also do movies every we do 100K Presents every Wednesday night, and this Wednesday was no exception. It was a magical evening.
Was he there?
Who's that?
100K
100K did not show up that I saw. I know that that Best in Show Keith was there for a little bit, but I never saw 100K show up at any point. It was a little bit sad.
Yeah, okay, I know you were there too.
I'm just sorry. I got a little. I mean, because I know you don't usually go far without your intern. He's usually just a couple of feet behind you.
100K and I were hanging out.
That's why neither one of you guys.
100K's busy. My intern now is
looking for jobs.
No, he's writing his letter of protest to the Department of Labor.
You got any details though? I did. I feel bad that I missed out on it. I was preoccupied. Unfortunately,
is this?
I was looking forward to seeing the Lost Mountain,
the Holy Mountain. Is this the movie that Beck referenced in the song?
Yes, Beck referenced it in some song.
Hands song when he says turns S to gold.
That's it.
I'm sure that's probably it. I don't remember the Beck song, but maybe.
I know you don't remember it. That's why the Church of Manlow had such a problem playing it.
Come on. Yeah. What are you talking about? It was great. That wasn't me. That was some other guy anyway. Yeah, it was.
That was 100 gay.
Right, exactly. It was a terrific movie, though. I really enjoyed it. We put it on with the idea of it being this pretentious, corny, ridiculous, stupid, over-the-top thing, and it was all of that. But it was. I enjoyed it. After like 20 minutes, I kind of started really getting into it. I really dug it. And there was this Mexican chick with a monkey that was running around the whole time that I was really into. It was just very exciting. I really enjoyed it.
More importantly, I think, is I'm curious about the double feature, the first part of the double feature. How did that come across? Did you guys air the Freddy's appearance at what the hell was it?
Sally Jesse Raphael.
Sally Jesse
I got to catch it on the tail end because Chris was goodly enough to air it again after the Holy Mountain.
Right. I actually made it into a triple feature because a lot of people didn't show up until maybe 10-15 minutes into Holy Mountain and, you know, missed the whole plot of the weird symbolic thing that had an incredible
They thought
plot.
It was part of the movie.
They very easily could have. I will say that our buddy, formerly known as Nugget, now known as Princess Calls Too Much, was a good 15 minutes into Holy Mountain and said, "Wait, is this the movie yet?" And
I hope he left because I don't think you're allowed to show him that movie.
Well, I don't think a human should be allowed to watch this movie.
I'm to no human.
It was great. It was great, but that's also because I'm only a quarter human, so that's why it was terrific for me. But it was good.
I'm pretty sure in the Sally Jesse appearance, I'm pretty sure people spoke, said things. I'm pretty sure people were on the stage, but the quality was so top-notch that I'm not sure. But
I will say this, that it was at least, I'm going to say, 35 to 40 minutes into the film till the first English word was discernible in Holy Mountain. But yes, there was plenty of English that was very discernible on the double feature from Fred's Sally Jesse appearance, which was great, which I hate talking about without him being here. I wish he was here to discuss it because it is a ridiculous little thing. This whole thing with him and his ex-girlfriend and his old friend and them pulling the wool over Sally Jesse's eyes.
Oh, you ruined it.
I did. You thought it was a real thing?
I thought it was, yeah.
Oh, he said it plainly on the air that it was. You pulled my leg. You pulled my leg.
So how long was the edit? Like you edited stuff
3 minutes.
That's it.
It was 3 minutes, wow. And it was with a big tracking line through the top of his head that we could not get out of the tape for some reason because that's how it was recorded. I tried to F with it, and it just wouldn't. It wouldn't get better.
Key seems to suggest that the audio quality was very, very bad. Listening to it over the stream, can you upload it in some manner so that the rest of the population can consume it?
I have every intention of getting it up on YouTube.
And our buddy Dan just requested maybe can we add it to the blog or something. Yeah. So I think people do want to see it. But you know what? The spike. You know, on old VHS tapes, you get that squeaky spiking noise. You know, the...
I think that's the tracking.
Yeah. That was happening a lot. At least I thought I was hearing that a lot at first. It was a little bit less as it played on, just like a normal VHS tape as it plays.
It sounds like crap on a stick. It's one of the worst sounding...
Wasn't crap on a stick one of the main features of Holy Mountain?
That absolutely really was. It absolutely was. It was one of the finer films of disturbed footage I've ever seen in my life. But, yeah, the audio quality of the Fred thing was pretty bad. I was going to try and clean it up, but then he said, oh, he thinks his friend has a better copy of it.
Yeah,
he was going to get that to it. And I waited, and then I realized that's just crazy. So I'll clean it up, and I'll get it on YouTube within the next week and get it on the blog and get it everywhere.
You're going to enhance it?
I will do some audio enhancing.
Clean that right up?
I'll put it through an MP3 cleaner. Okay. Not the video, the sound.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll sound terrific.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Our buddy Walter Zobchak says that the Fred video had all the quality of an Al Jazeera beheading video. And it's actually those sound a little better.
You sure he didn't confuse that with Holy Mountain?
Yeah. No, it's because the quality of that was great. It was just the high def quality of it was great.
Got it.
And honestly, I thought it was a good film. I thought it was terrific. I enjoyed it. I was very happy to have watched it. And I'm actually going to watch it again alone. Enjoying myself sometime, not when I don't feel like I'm, joking around in a chat room, when I'm just going to sit there and, smoke a little cigarette for myself and just really enjoy it and have a nice time.
I'm going to wait till it comes out on Blu-ray.
I'm going to bet that's already out on Blu-ray.
Nice. All right, I'm all over it.
The visuals in it are really amazing. That's one thing that you can't say for it. The visuals in it are really terrific.
Yeah.
Blu-ray?
It's not going to be out on Blu-ray.
I will bet... No money that it might be on Blu-ray right now. I'd be surprised that it's not, because this is a high budget film of the early 70s.
The Blu-ray so far, and it's expanding every day. The Blu-ray collection is fairly limited. Like, it's kind of crappy action movies and a couple of good art films here and there, but an obscure little.
I'm going to tell you to go to Netflix and look.
Okay.
I would suggest trying and seeing how that'll work out for it.
So it's I liked, though, it was a nice turnout. I didn't expect, because I wasn't here for last week's, but I liked...
Well, allow me to point out, you came in, I'd say, 2.5 hours into the movie at the very end when there was 1 second left.
In there right now.
Even though you said 3 times that you showed up, like maybe 20 minutes into it. But I will say that before those 20 minutes elapsed, there were more people in there that were just horrified by what they were watching and just took off and couldn't be bothered.
They virtually stood up and filed out of the aisles.
Absolutely.
And left the theater.
Absolutely.
That's what
happened. Yeah. I mean, like good buddies of ours, too, were just like, yeah, I can't hang with this.
Hey,
I can't
Keith,
hang with
this. How can you come into a movie halfway through? Aren't you worried that you're going to be confused by the dialogue and the story and the plot points?
I was, and then... In the first 30 seconds of the movie, I can't remember, but there was just a flashing by of about 45 different images, including a guy which I believe had a blonde mohawk pulling somebody's head off, just pulling somebody's head off clean to just where there's just a skull sitting there, like on a spine.
Wow.
Like,
nice.
Yeah, obviously. What? Was something wrong with that?
So at that point, I was just kind of like...
Holy.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. I'm telling you that if you watched from minute one, you would have been totally lost from minute one. It was great, though. It was enjoyable. It was a fun
time. That guy, I threw it out there in the chat room, but for Brian's sake, that guy, that director is directing – David Lynch is not directing his new movie. That director is directing it. So that'll be out later on this year, but I think maybe it's Wednesday.
By the way, that guy with the blonde mohawk, I believe, was Neptune, if memory serves me. He played the character Neptune. So thank you.
Holy. Looked like a Road Warrior character.
Yes, it was. No, he was playing the part of Neptune. Oh. And I don't know if you caught that. He was Neptune. It was very enjoyable. Lots of sexiness. Lots of hot clothes. Lots of just a lot of exciting
like
things.
Burning clothes.
No, like hot, like erotically pleasing to the eye clothes. It was great. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. I will say that probably next week you probably should go something a little bit more on the straight route, and so people are not totally appalled week in and week out with what we were doing.
I have some movie. Oh, straight.
Yeah, it went downhill, believe it or not, from Hellraiser in the appeal factor of what we were putting out there.
Hellbound Hellraiser 2.
Right, Hellbound Hellraiser 2. My apologies for not giving it its proper name, giving it its proper Christian name. But so next week, I don't know. I'm thinking like Speed or something along those lines. Although I think
Speed 2.
Well, okay.
Clearly.
Isn't that the one where they're racing on a boat?
I believe that is. And it's not even Keanu Reeves. It's
right.
It's a lesser Keanu Reeves.
It's a cruise ship with some other guy. Yeah.
Jason Patrick. Wait, that's on a boat, really?
Yeah, it's a cruise ship.
I just thought it was the same bus. I thought at the end of the other one, he jumps off and Jason Patrick jumps on.
Well, they are. It's just on a boat. It's a bus on a boat. They keep doing laps.
It's like a ferry.
Yeah.
If the bus goes over 17 miles an hour on the deck.
Yeah, I don't understand how that could work out, how you're going fast on a cruise ship. Really.
Well, just you wait and see.
Oh, it'll be so exciting. It'll be so exciting. I think some of the recommendation that we saw last night, our buddy Steve LaLarper was suggesting that we go with Godzilla 2000. So I'm already looking into that.
Is that the Matthew Broderick version of Godzilla?
No, it wasn't a. It was a Japanese film from a couple of years ago. It's not the one that they tried to tie in with New Year's for some reason and stuff in New York City. Hmm. It was a Japanese film that came out.
Cloverfield?
Oh wait, maybe I got a little confused.
What about Loose Cannons with Gene Hackman?
I didn't even know it existed. I would love to watch it. I'd rather watch Silver Streak with Gene Wilder.
Any Gene Wilder vehicle?
It's just like Gene Hackman, only better. Only funnier, you know?
I like how that's a Gene Wilder movie.
What, isn't it?
Isn't it a Richard Pryor movie?
No, they were a pair. They were a duo.
Got it.
No?
If you say so.
That's what I would think. Well, I think everyone should head over to Radio Bronze Fans. Get your choices out there. Let it be known. Put your votes out under the TV video or whatever. Some section there. Just get some posting done and figure out what we're going to do for this week. Because if not, it's going to be Godzilla 2000 and like six people are going to like it. So cut the crap. Cut the crap, you jerks. Let us know what you want us to watch.
Is Godzilla 2000, strictly speaking, a horror movie? Shouldn't we be sort of steering away from horror movies?
You think Godzilla is horror?
I don't know.
Horror?
How do you classify that? Like a monster movie? Is that different from horror movies?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't think it's scary in the same way. I think it's like, oh, scary as opposed to scary, you know? That's why I think it's a totally different. And Steve LaLarper is calling it a monster movie. You know what? Screw it. I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of seeing like a classic, like Godzilla, like Destroy All Monsters, or like, you know, something along those lines.
I have Destroy All Monsters, and I have Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman.
That's kind of the same thing. That's kind of the same thing. I read that Abbott and Costello meet somebody.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't that be a good film?
What about the Gollum?
I know. The new Abbott and Costello. The one with like...
Abbott and Costello 2000? What?
They did like in the late 80s or the 90s that the Bronson Pinchot or whatever did an Abbott and Costello movie.
This has to be it if this exists, but I think Brian's...
Bronson Pinchot did an Abbott and Costello movie? And they played the real Abbott and Costello characters?
Like later, it was in a modern context, but yeah, they were Abbott and Costello or something like that.
You sure it wasn't Laurel and Hardy?
Oh, boy. I think it is.
You son of a bitch.
Does it matter?
Yeah, no, I want them to meet somebody. Let's just watch Blues Brothers 2000. Let's agree to that.
Possibly the worst movie ever made.
Next week? You know, we could sit here and rattle off 100 movie titles.
And I'm not a big Blues Brothers fan to begin with. I think there's some really funny scenes in it.
I like the Blues Brothers.
I liked a few of the scenes I think are really funny, but... The Blues Brothers 2000 could be the worst movie ever made.
I don't know. It could be that. We could go like Greatest Sinners, suggesting in the Heroes Talk Room, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. It could be Mothra, as Mark Dock is suggesting, Godzilla versus Mothra. What actually was that movie called? Was it called Godzilla versus Mothra? Didn't it have a different name?
I heard suggested recently the all-new Adventures of Laurel and Hardy in For Love or Money.
Mummy.
Well, For Love or Money, Mummy, even better, starring Bronson Pinchot and... Gaylord Sartain.
Gaylord is the guy's name?
And F. Murray Abraham, for some reason.
Awesome. Well, hey, I'm totally for any of it. I'm totally for any of it. I just say, everyone, get over to RadioBronzeFans.com, get your votes in, let everybody know what you want to do, and we'll figure something out for next week. I thought it was great. I thought it was a good time. I enjoyed watching Fred's video. I enjoyed watching Holy Mountain, and I'm going to enjoy watching something this week. And be a part of picking it, and then you won't have to run away screaming, walking out of the theater when you hate it.
As long as Michael Cera isn't in it, because I can't stand that kid's face or voice.
What do you mean? He's the best. Isn't he? He's in the Jack Black movie. He's so good.
The kid that's been doing the same joke in every acting part he's ever had. Which, granted, it's what he's being cast as. But I concur.
I think he's terrific.
I Jim Kerr.
I think it's all terrific. I think everything's terrific. It's best in show. Bestinshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk. What, you don't like when I try and work those in?
What's speaking up, of everything being terrific,
I can't believe I just confused Laurel and Hardy with Abbott and Costello.
I can't believe
such
you.
Such a jerk.
I can't believe I just pointed at you to talk about something and you yawned on mic before telling us that.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I'm exhausted. I'm really tired, actually.
I mean,
there's kind of a reason why I'm tired, and it has nothing to do or very little to do with work. I last night, as has been happening a couple times in the past week or so, even, all right, I'll stretch it, in the past month or so, I've been getting used to staying up way past my normal allotted bedtime playing video games. And maybe it's now because I'm playing like a game that's...
Well, for hold on, let's bring it back a second.
All right.
You say allotted bedtime. Has it changed? Well, obviously it probably has changed since you're unemployed. But does that bedtime have anything to do with, you know what, I feel kind of bad that my girl's going to bed at this time and, like, I'm up till 3 in the morning playing video games? Like, has your bedtime quota, is it based upon, like, you don't want to piss off your girl?
Not entirely, because, we do, now that I don't have to wake
up. Not entirely, only 95%.
Now that I don't have to wake up in the morning, I do find myself quite regularly going to sleep later than her. And in fact, especially with this whole video game thing, because I don't really play video games in front of her because she doesn't play video games. It would be really, really boring looking to her just sitting here watching me like handle a controller or a joystick and push little pixels around on a TV screen.
Did you ever attempt to play video games with her?
I've tried, and she actually put in a little effort and made it seem entertaining to her for a little while, but you could tell the clock was ticking on it, and the alarm went off really quickly afterwards. So basically, I just kind of, when she's not there, which used to be, if I were, during the week, if I were to get home from work before her, or if she has to, like, leave the house for some shopping or just use the bathroom or something, I'll squeeze in a couple, like, hours here and there. But now that, like, I don't have to wake up really early in the morning, I find myself waiting till she goes to bed and then staying up playing video games. And
let's cut to the chase here. What was your old bedtime?
My old bedtime, I would shoot for 11 p.m.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're real cool.
Because I try to get 8. It takes me an hour to get to sleep because I'm a freaking nervous wreck, and I try to get 8 hours in.
Well, obviously, you didn't. If you don't get to save that that Medal of Honor, what are you going to do? But, okay, and so what are we talking about now? What have we crept to?
It gets pretty late, and it's not a matter of creeping either. I think it's a matter of habit. It really has to do with...
Brian, you've lost your job. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 a.m., honey. I'll make the coffee when you're getting up for work.
I'm telling you, and again, it's because I'm playing a video game now. It's Half-Life 2. It's a series that, as you know, in the 90s came out I think it was the 90s. I don't know how – I'm getting old now. It's all kind of blurring together.
Yes, you are getting old, as our buddy Eric Ryan is pointing out. Brian is a 12-year-old in a 40-something body. It's very true.
There's something about the Half-Life series, and in particular, it's kind of scary, that it's one of those games that it's kind of like you play it until the early hours of the morning. Like, and that game sort of like contextualizes the whole nature of playing video games. Video games, there's no better time to play any video game than at like 3 a.m.
Can I play the part of the grandmother here?
Yes.
Half-Life is what? It's like a first-person shooter type
Half-Life
game?
Is one of is a first-person shooter. It's one of the genre's kind of big names.
Just to give you the barometer on what it was, Lax Play is saying in the chat room that he played it when he was 14. He is now 31. That gives you an idea of how old the game
really
is.
Really? Is that long ago? Yeah.
Yeah, that's where. Let me do the math. 208 years ago is when that,
like,
when that actually came out.
Before computers existed.
Wow, yeah. Weird. Okay, so it's a first-person shooter.
Yeah, and it's very – there's no multiplayer or anything like that, at least in the early things. It's very engrossing. There's a big storyline. It's very long. There's no cutscenes. You just you play through it, and little chapter sequences fade into the screen as you're playing it. But basically, you just never let go of the joystick. You never have a break. It's always just panicked action one after another, and it's scary. There's these monsters and things jumping out at you that are making all kinds of gross noises and
like
sucking
Chris
on your
said
brain.
The,
wait, hold on.
Ooh, scary.
Wait, no.
Scary.
A grown-up just said it's scary.
Yes.
They're making gross noises. That's really what just happened, right?
The audio.
Actually,
these...
what he said is there's these monsters and things.
Gross noises, though. Gross noises scare him.
You would be grossed out to the point of fear by some of the noises. The audio work on these games, on this game in particular, these series, are great.
I will say this, man. Whenever I cared about video games in the past, and it's been a while since I've cared, although I'm starting to slowly think that I'm going to start caring again soon. But whenever you would look in like the game magazines, like Electronic Gaming Monthly or whatever, I don't even know if that magazine exists anymore. But like any one of those things, they would always rank like the visuals are this, the gameplay is this, and the audio is this. How could you possibly like the audio for a game? I can understand if it's bad that it's distracting. But like, can video game sound be so important that it changes the dynamic of the game for you?
And with specific games in particular, yes. And a lot of like the surround sound systems that you deal with make video games incredible, because when you're watching a movie and you can hear like a car coming approaching you from behind, it's sort of neat. It's like, oh, hey, isn't this a neat little toy? You can use it as a tool in a video game. You can hear someone attacking you behind you. And it's like the level, the quality of audio, because the video that they're providing is all rendered and 3D modeled and stuff like that, you're looking at pixels. They make it sound real with the audio.
I will say that World's Greatest Sinner actually does point out a very good point in the Heroes Talk Room. That's because Chris remembers rocking his ColecoVision. And that actually is true. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that I
thought you're jealous that you didn't have one and I had a ColecoVision.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't. I was actually an Atari 2600 man myself.
Yeah, low life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were one of the rich kids. You were one of the rich kids in the projects that had the ColecoVision.
So, Brian, how many if I'm reading you right?
Yeah.
The problem is that you're hooked on this new game that you can't just play for say 15 minutes. What's the minimum amount of time on this game? What is the minimum amount of time you're going to allow yourself to play? Would it be a half hour? Or if you have a half hour, you say, I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't at least have like an hour in front of me, it's really not useful to throw the game in and get started. Like, I suppose that's the thing is you get obsessed on these games about what's coming next. Like, you have to, especially this one, there's no pause. There's no break. You just keep going, and there's always a task that's in front of you. And when you're not doing that, when you turn the game off and you walk away, your mind is being eaten up and overwhelmed by the task that you're not.
Do you play anything that you can just play for 15 minutes, or there is no such game now that you could just throw something on for, you know, just mess around?
Games like that certainly do exist. I just am not – I'm not typically interested in them.
Yeah, like
casual games is what people call them.
I was going to say our buddy Vielchop from The Awful Hour, he posted like one of the ones that he was trying to get trophies for, some like pinball game or stuff like that. Like those a throwaway like that.
Yeah, you can play Tetris for 50 hours or for 5 minutes, you know. You kind of have to have a certain amount of time if you're playing a story, because you're going to be engrossed in a story and you don't want to keep stopping it every 5 minutes.
And you wonder why you can't go to sleep. It takes you an hour to go to sleep.
Well, I mean, there's something about this series and I guess just those kind of video games in general that make it the being alone experience and just sort of being engrossed in the experience and having the world sort of fade away makes video games at night perfect, because there's no one calling you on the phone to stop you or anything. There's no one around that's really kind of...
But you don't share. You're like, oh my God, I just went ahead and I can't believe I got past. Like, you want to tell your girl, like, you'll never guess what I just accomplished, baby.
No, because that doesn't... I mean, you don't say accomplish in video games in the same sentence to a girl, because they'll laugh at you. The video games are not an accomplishment, you know?
How did that Lost thing work out with you and her? I remember a couple of years ago you told us you were both trying to play the Lost game together.
That was the first game that I sort of tried to break her into, and it's just a bad game. And it's also the control scheme wasn't that easy for her to manipulate, and she's not played video games in the past, like, 20 years, if at all. You know, it was Pac-Man or something like that. So negotiating a camera as well as moving a person was way too much for her, and it was frustrating. So when she was playing it and having fun, and when she handed the controller to me and I started moving a little more effortlessly, she was frustrated by it and just kind of was like, okay, I'm done.
So you showed up.
How dare you succeed? How dare you succeed? Leave me alone.
Well, she was frustrated by the fact that it took her an hour to go someplace that took me like 10 seconds.
Yeah, but is she frustrated because when she's looking over at you, you're grabbing your hair and you're like, geez, God, come on, God, I can't believe
it. I was watching
the
pressure. I let go of that.
I can see you being a dick like that.
I let go of that early on just so she could try to enjoy it. And it was lost as well, so there was an...
But you know what, man? You don't get all frustrated when she's good at, like, cooking and cleaning and other women's work.
Right, right. Well, I mean, what it comes down to is that I had, like, a little meta moment with video games recently because, like, I let myself go. I mean, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, you would just play a game and then, like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, I have to go to work in 15 minutes. What did I do all day? And I caught myself last night playing as the sun was rising, and I'm realizing, well, I've been up this long, all night long, playing until I guess it was 5:30, 5:45 in the morning. And
I will say that back in the days of my last unemployment, really, after when Brian and I used to work together, and actually Keith was with us, and we were doing our Twin Peaks nights, sitting and watching Twin Peaks. One of the nights, Brian actually slept over my house with the intention of us watching Twin Peaks again the next morning, and he said that night, "Ooh, wait. You have Grand Theft Auto, Vice City?" This is before Brian had any video games, when his last video game reference was probably the ColecoVision. I handed him the controller like 11 o'clock at night, and the next morning when my wife was leaving for work, Brian was sitting up on the couch still playing Grand
Theft
Auto Vice City.
You know what? This is about a year since you bought your – because I remember when I first started with you guys, and actually my anniversary is coming up right about now. That's been a year.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying, oh, you know, I'm going to go with this, or I'm, you know, and your reasonings of why you're going to go with the machine, and, you know, you want to get back into it, and look at you now.
Yeah, you know, I committed.
It's funny, too. You mentioned that whole time of the three of us being unemployed and watching Twin Peaks. Right around that time, a countless amount of times we've brought this up, that Brian and I were involved in that ARG at the time that we were playing, and I remember, Chris, you complaining to us. Like, Chris was complaining to us during the day. It's like, why are you guys so tired? Because, like, we were just staying up all night, going to sleep at, like, 6, and then, like, you know, waking up again at, like, 8 to catch up on what's going on with the game. Those things are insane because a lot of that was just, like, kind of staring at a couple of different websites waiting for some sort of a change to happen.
Or, like, doing cryptography or trying to do some bizarre little stuff.
And you know what? I think, you know, you say video games. I could say I've had addictions like that on Pal Talk, hanging out. Just BSing in a chat room to all hours in the morning. Like, now also there's probably Facebook people that are very addictive that say, geez, I was on Facebook till 4 in the morning because I was chatting, I was playing these games, I was doing this. So I think there's more outlets out there now.
I just want it to be known, Restaurant City, I have to work on my restaurant until the wee hours of the morning. I do have to get to Mafia Wars. I don't even know if it's Mafia Wars or Mob Wars. I don't know what it is. 12 hours of the morning. It's very important stuff.
Any of you guys miss a night's sleep feeding homeless people lately?
Oh, wee.
Well, I guess that's what I've definitely seen the sunrise doing things that I probably shouldn't be doing. Like, chances are pretty good if you're watching the sunrise, you're not doing it because you're working, or unless you're like
breaking dawn, son. For the sake of breaking dawn, why would?
And you don't feel bad with your, like, your girl, like, just like looking at you, going, "Geez, you really just."
It's really great, by the way, is when you made the Pal Talk reference for our buddy Raphael from Connecticut's about mentioning that. Yeah, Bobby G is right, and I can remember about, I'd say, 4:30 in the morning with Raphael as he's playing me, sending me link after link to different Lamb of God videos, and I'm watching like death metal videos at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, this is what I wonder, and Brian, and if you may have said this already while I was fighting with the, by the way, the Hear Us Talk chat room, I have no idea how to get in. It doesn't allow me to log in under my own name. It doesn't allow me to change my nickname. So I don't know if other people are having that problem too,
Oh my God, Alizé videos. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, I have no problem in the Hear Us Talk chat room, but I know everyone, it's chronic.
Okay.
Sometimes it'll happen, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know.
But has it, I'll ask Brian this question, I guess, later on. Chris, let me ask you a question.
Sure, about that video game that I didn't play with you? Oh, I like bees, too.
Has it gotten to the point yet, Brian, that you've you've been in the middle of a game and you suddenly see your girlfriend like behind you because she's up getting ready for work?
No, it's well, like I said, it's not really. I mean, I suppose it helps that I'm unemployed at this point, that I don't really have to worry too much about how the next day is going to feel. But I mean, it's not like I get a bunch of sleep anyway. Like, I went to bed at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up at 8 this morning, you know, and I haven't gone back to sleep. I'm just exhausted.
Even though you had nothing to do, you just got up on your own.
Well, I had video games to play, first of all.
You have a disease. You have a disease. There's something wrong.
Things keep you up at night. It's a disease, whether it's alcohol or video games.
I mean, I think that when it comes to video games, that's just the perfect time to do it. Because the rest of the world is so shut down, that video games are sort of like it really kind of drags you into the experience and makes you shut off with things that are going around you more than many other
experiences. And that's why I want to know right now, how is this affecting your relationship? Because this has to be affecting your relationship.
I mean, if it is, it's subconscious, and I haven't really kind of seen it.
I mean, did she get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? She's like, uh-huh.
Nope.
No?
Wow. No.
Good bladder on that woman.
And it's not like I do it all the time. It's just it was a pleasurable experience having it. It's been many years since I saw the sunrise and watched in the middle of a game. And I remember it being with like Half-Life in the past, and it was like, wow, this is the perfect video game moment.
I want to bring something up though. You did say though that you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and you have the video games to play. So it's not limited to just late night playing, like you were just playing it off as 3 minutes ago. When you're saying you're doing it first thing in the morning, you're not playing the same games in the morning you do at night.
Go ahead, Keith.
He's enjoying it. He's enjoying it beyond the realm of understanding. And that's why when you say, you know what, in 3 hours I can wake up and do this anyway, but you just can't bring yourself to do it, that's when you're just enjoying something.
No, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that it seemed like he had a whole thing just a couple of minutes ago that he was saying that there are certain games, like with the sounds and everything, it's just built and meant for the night. But he's playing that same game at 8 o'clock in the morning, too. When the world is up and awake, even though you're saying that the world being up and awake is part of the – not being awake is part of the allure.
Let me paint you a picture, I suppose, by example.
Punny.
That's Chris's job.
And, well, today, this morning, this afternoon, what I did – after – I woke up to some phone calls from the office for some things that I had to handle. And, you know, it turned out there was a possibility that I was going to have to go into the office and work that morning. And it ended up that we kind of fixed stuff over the phone, so it wasn't necessary for that to happen.
How hard were you trying to fix stuff over the phone? That
me?
Trying to not go into work.
Not that hard. I wanted to go to work.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought because you were so tired, you wanted to, like, really not go to work.
Well, I guess that's kind of the point that I was saying, is that there's, for some reason, I become a bit invincible. Like, I feel really tired now, but there was a certain level of satisfaction that I wasted that time playing video games at night because that's the perfect time to do it. Alternately, this afternoon, I ended up having to, like, answer some emails and, like, do some show prep. And I'm doing, like, a half
– curse it.
Exactly. Or I get a half an hour into it and someone calls me on the phone and I got to deal with this guy's computer problem. Or, like, Chris calls to say, yo, what's up? And, you know, I got to, like, talk to him for a little while.
Yeah, that's happened. I've called to say, yo, what's up, constantly.
Well, I mean to say, you know, it's kind of hard to really kind of throw yourself into a pointless video game experience when the rest of the world is awake and nagging at your shoulder. Between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m., no one is calling me to say that, you know, you have to go to work.
You know why, right?
Until now, Brian's phone number is 347.
So I throw on the headphones and I plug it in and I don't have to worry about being too loud for neighbors. And I just, like, it pulls me in. And then before I know it, the sun's rising and it's just like, wow, I've killed a night.
I've killed at least 19 zombies.
Well, and I understand this, but you know where this is. You know where this has gone, right? This has gotten to the point now that you don't want to take a couple days out of your free time to go on vacation. Now you don't even want to be bothered.
Yes.
Like while you're playing your video
games. Video games definitely make the ability to do nothing much more pleasurable.
By the way, I just want to say, yes, Walter Soptek, Brian did just say show prep. He did just try and pull the wool over all of our eyes. It's ridiculous.
What?
No, I didn't say
this isn't natural.
Oh, wow. You practiced to do this?
Sad.
You know what the sad part is?
Your addictions, people that work have these addictions, except they do it on the weekend. So they wake up Monday, like they use their weekend time probably to stay up until 4 in the morning.
I got news for you. Crazy Monk said something earlier in the Pal Talk room about, geez, good thing Brian doesn't play WoW, the World of Warcraft. I got news for you. I got some people that I play with. I have a guy that I play with, a good friend of mine, that goes home, goes to sleep at 6 o'clock, and then wakes up at 12 or so, 11 or so, so he could play straight through till work the next morning, because the late night WoWing is when all the good stuff is going on for him.
There's something about late night video games that's great. I don't play on the weekends either, because my girlfriend's home, we're sharing space together. I can't really kind of, here, sit down.
So when is this whole girlfriend thing got to
sharing space together.
I know, it sounds like, when is this whole girlfriend thing got to start to end, because it's going to start interfering with your game time?
Well, obviously that's not going to happen.
You need an income somehow.
But when I was single and I wasn't living with someone and I had a video game to play, I would definitely burn an entire weekend doing it.
If you were just dating somebody now and you really didn't care for him all too much, just somebody dating and all, would you literally probably call something off because you want more time and not have to, at this mode in your life, being unemployed and stuff? If it was somebody just kind of like, oh, you know what, we go out, we talk, but it's no one I'm going to marry or love or, you know, anything like that. It's just somebody dating. Would you actually end that relationship to fit in more game time?
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of push. I would cancel stuff that I didn't want to go to, and I would, you know, use that time to play video games, sure. I don't think I'd go out of my way and cancel something just to play a video game. But if I didn't want to go to this, I'd probably play a video game instead.
And what happens if you're faced one day with the old ultimatum, Brian, stop playing video games or this is affecting me? What happens?
I mean, you know, we argue, because that's going to be a ridiculous – if anyone says that, they're kind of a chump. So, I mean, it's not the fact that I'm not playing video games anymore. It's that someone has asked me that. That becomes an issue. I mean –
that goes against your whole other, you know, just it's that not, question goes against.
It's not the game, it's the ultimatum aspect.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, if an event happens that I need to stop playing video games, like, you know, the console breaks, or, you know, there's a nuclear war, or electricity stops, or something like that, I'm going to stop playing it, but, you know, I'm not going to stop eating peanut butter sandwiches if it means that, you know, that's the end of the relationship either. Because, I mean,
only because I, you know, there's a lot of the whole addictions and again, this does sound, don't get me wrong, is it considered an addiction?
No, I think what you're poking at is that I'm addicted to video games.
Is it considered, you think, an addiction?
No, I don't. I don't think that it's an addiction. I think it's silly to suggest that it's
the first way to acknowledge that you have a problem is acknowledging that you have a problem is the first step to
curing the battle. Addiction. Or it's not a problem, or it's just a thing that I do that I enjoy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I called Brian the other day. I was in a bookstore and they had like this sale rack. And I was looking at a lot of the books brand new or cheap, and I said, but I needed Brian's expertise in Homer, not Homer Simpson. And so I sent him a text message, and I was thinking, like, I have a feeling I'm not going to get answered right now, because I have a feeling Brian's not looking at his phone right now. He's just, like, parked in front of his PlayStation right now. But I received a call back within 30 seconds.
The phone is, you know, if I'm at home playing video games, the phone is 3 feet away from me, and I can hear it vibrate or ringing or whatever. And that's the problem with playing video games during the day. That's why you don't really do it. That's why nighttime at 4 a.m. hour of 2 a.m. to 4 a.m.
I'm not saying that I don't acknowledge it. I'm not saying that I don't see the point. I think it's fine. I think it's, you know, if that's what you want to do, it's fine. I do think it does border on being a little bit nutty. But hey, it's no nuttier than anything else that anyone chooses dump
people
themselves
have other
into.
Vices. Like I said, other things that
you. But it's not even a vice. There are other things that you get obsessed with that you throw yourself into. It could be a music thing that you could be getting into. It could be great. I think there are healthier things that you can get into other than video gaming at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I don't know.
It could
that,
be listening to podcasts such as Best in Show Radio, bestinshowradio.com.
Oh man, if people haven't subscribed to that podcast by now, they're probably smart. But if they aren't, they should head over to bestinshowradio.com. And click on the podcast and get that thing going.
I was just saying, like, there's something, you know, the next morning when you're at work and you're bleary-eyed because you were able to squeeze in 45 minutes of a nap before you went into work, there's a little bit of a buzz that kind of that follows that, having to do with the fact that you were playing video. There's some semblance of satisfaction to it, especially if, like, you've just finished it. But if you haven't, yeah, it's you got to stay up the next night and finish off.
And again, painful. I don't want to. I'm not going to say it's a bad thing. I've said it. You know, I've said it to you off air. I don't even think I've said it on the air that I'm actually now planning to. I'm planning to get a PlayStation 3 myself. I'm ready to jump in, but I can't imagine that I'm going to be jumping into the deep end of the pool that you're at, or that I'll even ever venture to that side of the pool of the madness with the video gaming.
I guarantee in 4 months you're going to be up at 4 a.m. playing some game.
I don't have the option. I don't have the option. I won't be able. I can't function that way because I didn't. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it with Warcraft.
For a while.
The latest I went with Warcraft was maybe 2 o'clock, and 2 is fine. I could do like 1-2 o'clock now. That's where I cut my on Thursday nights after Best in Shows, when I'm busy updating the website and stuff. I hang out and Pal Talk till probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock's about as late as I get.
There's going to be a game that you're going to play that you're going to get so engrossed in that you're going to find you'll play it until the sun rises, and you'll have to work in a half an hour. And then you're going to be...
You know, I was watching this show on New York One on Saturday, and I was actually sending Brian some text messages about it, because I could kind of see, because there were some new games that, like, and I'm not a game person, obviously, but...
A gamer.
But there was, like, a new Batman game and some others that, like, looked really like I could see them being, like, very addictive. But, you know, I'm actually afraid that when I go back to work, I'm going to have to, like, seriously cut down to becoming, like, a 9 o'clock in bed person, because I really can't function without sleep lately. Like, and that's to do nothing.
Yeah.
This is to wake up and do nothing. Like, if I go to sleep too late, I at some point have to take, like, a long, long nap during the day of, like, 3 or 4 hours or something.
Yeah, I mean, since my daughter's been born, I don't think I need more than... I think that's when I transitioned out of, like, maybe 5-6 hours a night is more than enough, I think.
Really?
Is more than I think I need.
That would kill me. I mean, I'm pretty, like, selfish with the sleep. I shoot for 8, and if I can get 7, I'm all right. But if I can go 9 or 10, I'm psyched.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. That's not to say that I don't sometimes cash in on those, but I'm cool with 5. Five, I'm totally functioning fine. I'll have no problem. There are times that I'll definitely get home from work. I've had a specifically hideous day, and I'll need to you know, just bail out of existence at 9 p.m. and just stay asleep until 7 the next morning. It's happened. But more often than not, I'm good till, like, 1, 2-ish. And then my alarm clock goes off at 6:30.
Since you're not drinking every night,
and then I don't get out of bed till 7. But.
Yeah.
Since you're not drinking every night when you get home, do you go to sleep earlier, or has that not affected your sleeping patterns?
Because
being up drinking, naturally you're drunk, you're doing stuff, you want to just keep staying up. That was always my problem when I had to go to work. That was my big problem with Friday nights specifically. For some reason, I would be up drinking till 5 in the morning, even though I had to go to work 3 hours later.
Else is.
You
like
know, I never recognized it before, but I guess maybe I did. Guess maybe it has affected. Maybe that's why my sleeping works better than it did before. Yeah, I know. I just did a Brian.
Going to bed rather than passing out is different. Like, when you pass out.
I didn't pass out, though.
Well, what I mean by passing out, if you've been drinking, you're going to be knocked out, and you're just going to wake up and be like, wow, it's not a restful sleep.
How many missions on Warcraft did I alter by falling asleep and running into a crowd of monsters?
Hey, I think our tank is sleeping.
No, he's not sleeping. He's waking up the sleeping giants and monsters all around us.
Oh, he would just, like, auto-run all of a sudden and just run, like, into battle someplace. So thanks.
And then I'd wake up all alone, like, sorry, I guess everyone left me.
Alone and a corpse someplace. Like, hey, what's going on?
Heath says,
exactly.
These things happen. Again, I see myself going down the road. I can't see myself going to the extent that you are at, but I don't know. We'll see. I almost bought my PlayStation. The point is, PlayStation 3 has been out for how long now? And I'm only finally getting hit with the urge really hardcore now, basically because I want that new UFC.
And it has Blu-ray?
Oh, yeah. It's a Blu-ray player. That's the thing. I mean, that's how adults justify buying it, is because it's this amazing movie player.
What about us?
Well, we get to play games. But that's the thing, is that you're going to – it's a big boys game machine. So your wife isn't going to want to watch you play it. Your daughter's not going to watch you play it. You're only going to be able to play it when they go to sleep, which is going to mean you're going to start a game.
For the record, my wife is amped. My wife is psyched. She's the one who's like, oh, my God, that UFC Undisputed looks awesome. We have to get that. To the point that two nights ago when my daughter went to sleep and her and I are sitting in the living room watching it.
You started beating the hell out of each other?
A UFC Undisputed. No. That's during the day while my kid's awake. She's our referee. But a UFC Disputed commercial came on, and my sexy talk to my wife was I looked over to her like, that could be us. Like, that was my sexy talk. Like, baby, we could be doing mixed martial arts on the video game. You know?
Oh, video game. Okay. I thought you meant fight.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
How far out you think you are getting it?
I almost bought one this past weekend. I don't know, a week or two.
Let me know when you get. I can lend you some games that I don't play at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
I got some of that too.
Yeah. My goal is probably my next paycheck is probably what I'll do. I'll probably do it at the beginning of July. July paycheck.
Disposable income guy. Look at you.
Yeah, being smart about it. I'm not being ridiculous about it. That and I'll get myself a nice GameFly account.
How many watches can you buy for a PS3? By the way.
I can buy 4 watches for a PSP, but the PSP instead is what I want. No, yeah, I could probably of the watches that I'm looking at, like anywhere between 2 or 4, depending on which one.
Hey, speaking of that PSP, you still into it?
I'm going to be more into it now that I'll be able to play my PS3 off of it when I move around. It'll be very exciting.
Cool.
Dude, there's a driving game out there that you can use your PSP as a rear window or as a rear mirror. Like, you put it up on the top of the TV and it shows the cars that are behind you. Like, you drive it if it's
pretty
a rear,
exciting. It's lots of stuff. It's lots of exciting stuff. It's lots of exciting stuff that we're going to do. Just like everything else here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, the place to be. If you want to be a part of the magic, you can. 877-744-6405. All that jazzy, great stuff. Thinking about things, you know, I guess, thinking about things that you do. That's my segue. That's the way I'm going. Thinking of things that you do. This past week.
No, we're done with video games.
We've done
video games today.
Speaking of thinking.
Speaking of things, this past week, I actually had a magical moment. I walked outside of my house.
Of course you did. Every moment that you have is magical.
Well, this one really was magical. This one is a really magical moment. I walked outside of my house on, I think it was a Tuesday morning or Monday morning. I walked out on Monday morning, walked out of the house, and go to get in the car. And as I go to get in the car, I notice that the window to my car is open and is wide open. And I'm just like, wait a minute, someone broke into my truck. Holy crap, someone broke the window. And I look around and see, wait, there's no broken glass anyplace around here. Apparently, I pulled up to the front of my house and never shut my window and just left it open for the night. I live in a lovely, lovely neighborhood with lots of trees where lots of birds like to hang out. So I had a nice 20-minute cleanup of bird feces from the inside of my vehicle because I left my window to my car open. And I felt like almost like a sitcom dad idiot at that moment in my life that I realized, like, wow, I'm just the moron that forgets to do the simplest, easiest, regular human tasks that a person can do.
Speaking of car things, I wake up this morning. My wife's like, so I was just looking outside. I noticed you left your sunroof open. Now, if we know what kind of weather we're having. Yeah, my car, not my truck that I owned, my car, meaning the new 2009 Dodge Charger that I just bought 2 weeks ago.
Was last night?
But I didn't have it totally open. And it was funny because I was talking to my boy about this. I had it on the tilt, the vent.
For those that don't know, that aren't in New York, understand it was like torrential downpour last night. I mean, we can't assume that everyone is from around the corner.
Actually, rained sure blood last night. It was very bizarre.
I was lucky because these new sunroofs, when they tilt up, it has like an accordion on the side that close it, like, so the sides are all shielded.
Some music, you get a polka music.
Yeah, it's really cool. So the sides are shielded. So the only, you know, the piece that you push back and forth, the top of the cardboard was a little wet. But I was like, holy S. I'm like, I'm such a moron. I was just talking about this with my buddy about make sure you don't leave the sunroof open. I'm like, how would I leave the sunroof open?
Well, how often do you leave your window open, Chris? Was that just a once in a million thing? Or, I mean, it sounds like you're getting all up in your own business as a result of being an idiot for doing
this.
You
know what
is
it was? I don't think it was such a big deal, but it was such like a dope moment. Like, when it happens, like, what kind of an idiot literally just, like, that I just walk around and leave my window open?
When I'm drunk? Well, when I come home driving drunk, and I find myself stuff like that. The keys are in the door.
He has a right to feel like an idiot. If you do this over and over again, I understand it. Have you done it like once a month? Do you leave your window open?
No. This is literally the first time I've ever done this. This is the first time I've ever done this.
But maybe he's onto something. When you're drunk, you probably do stuff like that all the time.
Like piss in the bed, things like
like
that.
Like leaving the keys in the front door. Like, you know, have you ever done that? Pulled that maneuver? Like you wake up the next morning. Maybe it's like an apartment thing in New York City. You wake up the next morning, you can't find your keys. It's in the lock in your front door.
The apartment in New York City, the last place you should be leaving your keys.
Yeah,
in the front
exactly.
Door.
It's like a big sign that says, steal me! Come in! Take what you want!
Maybe I'm not so bad off. Our buddy Lax Play is saying in the chat room that try leaving your car and drive sometime and have it roll into the middle of the street and have your neighbor knock on the door. Yeah, that might be a little bit of a problem.
I drove a stick. I drove like a stick once, and I parked on someone's driveway at a slight incline, and I must have put it in neutral instead of having it
in gear.
Yeah,
that's
what
you were saying. You meant neutral.
Oh, it rolled down, and I didn't even know about it. I was in this guy's house for hours. I came out. My car was in the middle of the street, and it was butted up against a telephone pole, but it was taking up like half of the road.
So people still could go around you
around
and not
it, and it was just. I
feel
like such an idiot.
Yeah, just little things like coming out of the house and seeing that you maybe I would understand maybe in the I've had a couple of drinks days, seeing a car maybe sitting at an angle to the curb and trying to understand exactly why I thought there was 90-degree parking on a sidewalk in front of my house.
I've seen you park like that sober. You're not the world's best parker.
Mistakes happen. Mistakes happen.
Mistakes.
In keeping with my whole MO, my drunken driving story revolves around getting on the wrong train. Getting on a
drunken pedestrianing.
getting on the wrong PATH train, because there were six of them, so they all have to be the same. You're lucky I made it onto one. But you know what's funny? You said about the keys. I've found my keys in the oddest places. Like I can't tell you how many times I found
my cat's ass. I found my keys. So weird. And my cat doesn't even drive.
My watch too. How did that get up there? You know, can't tell you how many times I found my cell phone in my freezer or like in like an oven mitt.
You know what's funny about that?
You
said you can't count how many times. Yeah. Like this happens.
Oh, three or four times I found it in the freezer. I found like
your phone.
You know what it is? That
I know
that's
what it
a
is.
Regular thing though, because the ice cubes are right in there. You're going in there with your phone in one hand. You're going to make yourself a drink. Nice. I could see. I've definitely put my phone in the freezer.
But I've a bunch of times too. I have this habit when I get home. I empty my pockets
that's
like I'm stripping my clothes off to film. Pornography.
All right. Okay. Wait. It happens. It's what's in your mind.
There was nothing. There was nothing that made sense. So.
Well, I think that's the
problem. And I just start ripping everything out. Throw my wallet, my keys, throw everything. Like the whatever nonsense of flyers folded up and things. I just take it all out and I throw it. Somehow, sometimes it ends up in the freezer. Or...
I'm gonna fix your problem. Wait, go ahead.
Yeah, I would say I could very easily see things where you're confusing things when you're doing two things at once and you put the wrong thing in the wrong place. That sort of stuff I can understand. But what was your solution to
this problem? Is not an uncommon problem with Keith, and I'm sure we've discussed it. I don't know if it was on the air or not, but I've seen like this in action. Keith kind of steps into the house, and while he's walking into his house, he's maybe three steps in, and he's exploding. Like literally, the jacket's coming off, the hat's a bag, and it's not like they're all going in one place. They're being thrown all over the house.
It's an explosion. It's a violent explosion. Everything has to go out in one direction or another. I gotta be honest, man. I long for the days of my daughter being super young because my pants can't fall off the second I walk in the door and my shirt can't shoot in the other direction the way that it used to.
But I'm kind of with Keith. When I get home, I have to unload my pockets and take my cell phone off and everything. Like, if my wife's like, hey, what's going on? I got to say, hold on a minute. Like, I have to get that done first.
But you don't have a place for it?
Ah, this is the point. This is how I'm going to fix Keith. Keith doesn't have a place. Keith walks into his house, and his house is the place for his stuff. He just walks in, everything goes all over the place. And that sort of perpetuates his problem, because when you walk into his place, every flat surface is is covered with stuff in an unorganized fashion.
Who says I can't put half a pack of Skittles in the toilet tank if that's where they go now?
What you need to do...
You got room? There's extra room there, and they're floating.
What you need to do is grab your biggest cereal bowl. Like, do it right now when you get home.
No, right now. Yeah.
Tonight, when you get home, grab your biggest cereal bowl. Don't eat cereal out of it anymore. That is the place for everything that's in your pocket when you walk into that door. Put that bowl close to your door as you walk in. On a table, next to... God, I can't imagine...
Put it next to your...
I can't imagine you have a key rack or anything like that, but you must have a bookshelf or something close to where the door is. Clear out a space for that. Put that bowl... That's where everything goes. Your wallet, your keys... Anything that's in your pocket, even if you can get a cell phone charger plugged in the wall, don't leave the charger. Keep it plugged in right there. That's where your phone goes.
I hate when I agree with Brian, but he's 100% right.
You will
I have a little
your keys or wallet or phones or anything.
Well, that's not necessarily true, but I do have a little. I have a little basket that I keep right next to my door. I walk in, that's where my keys and my phone and everything go, and I still manage to.
Which lose is,
everything.
I was just going to say, the oddest thing about you with that, because I know exactly the spot you're talking about in your house. And you'll regularly say, where did I put my keys? And they're in that basket.
Oh, but I have to look in there for it. There's lots of other things in there. Like, oh, by the way, there's a comic book in there for you that I was supposed to bring here that I forgot.
Fringe?
Yeah, our buddy Vito got you the latest issue of Fringe.
But that's where everything goes. Your loose change, like anything that's in your pocket that you need to get out of your pocket. You won't leave stuff in your pocket anymore and throw it in the laundry either.
You know what I got? My loose change DVD.
I got one of those nice fancy like credenza things that you put on your nightstand, like those wooden
credenza. Phone, Parmesan, delicious.
You know, cell phone charger has a drawer and has a whole, you know, you just dump crap.
Those kind of look ugly. Like, I want one of those, but I haven't found one that looks good. They all look like they're from Target or something. Like, there isn't a classy looking thing that you can plug your phone into.
By the way, I love Moltar in the chat room saying that Keith's drunken self is playing a joke on his sober self the next morning, giggling at how he's going to find where things are the next day.
It's like a puzzle. It's a little gamey place.
You hit on something else, though, too, the cell phone charger, because I need to have my cell phone charger and iPod charger somewhere convenient, too, because I can't tell you how many times I'm ready to leave the house, and it's on zero power.
Could be. Joining us on the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
What up, boys? This is Jay Miller.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? As we're talking about all ridiculous things that you do when you walk in your house and all sort of healthiness and what stuff we want to do, why not talk to the healthiest, most ridiculous person that we know? What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Yeah, really. I mean, listen, this was not to bring up the doctor again, but this was the reason why I initially went to the doctor, was because I would put my keys in places that you would never believe, and I would never find them. And then I would do this thing where I would like go take the elevator down and remember that I forgot my keys, and then walk upstairs and get my keys, but like take my wallet out and put my wallet down and then go back in the elevator and then back up and then have to look for my wallet, and then where did I put my keys?
I can't tell you how many times I did the same thing. I forget one thing, go upstairs and take something. Usually it would be the opposite. I'd forget my wallet, and then I would leave my keys upstairs.
Oh, I didn't have my keys in my hand because I was holding my wallet, so let me put my wallet down and grab the keys. Well, like I said, I understand.
Did you ever look for your phone while you're on the phone?
Obviously. Obviously, all the time. Where the hell did I put it while I'm talking to someone?
I've done that.
I've never done that.
Yeah,
I've said to someone on the phone, "Where the hell did I put my phone?" Absolutely, 100%.
Did they laugh at you?
I've had people laugh at me and say, "Yeah, you're talking on it."
I would say dozens of times. I think I've done that. I've said, "Wait, where's my phone?" Like I'm on the phone with someone.
Yeah, but any time I get a knock on my door at my apartment,
where's my apartment?
I just go, "Oh, I left my keys in the door." That's the only reason people ever knock on my door.
Nice. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Well, all right. You put your wallet down to grab your keys, and then you walk out, and now you've left your wallet there. I mean, I should have clarified. You shouldn't have a place for your keys and a place for your wallet and a place for your cell phone. They should all be one place.
One of the things about going to therapy, that was the one thing that I had to work on, is that he told me, have a designated spot for all my stuff, and every time you come home, everything goes in the one spot. And you have to make that into a habit. And I did. My keys are always in the same spot.
And it's like 3 feet away from your door, right? Like it's really, really close.
This is why
it's the mail. It's the because I used to come home. I used to pick up the mail. I used to throw the mail. And my keys all over the place. If I ever
I'm home.
The mail.
That's how Keith rolls. Have you ever seen him
yes,
do that?
Absolutely.
If you see him walk into a room, I'm here.
Woo-hoo! I don't disagree. I don't think it's crazy.
It's like throwing things around like confetti.
By the way, this is specifically why you poo-poo at therapy all the time, Brian, because you're basically a therapist. You came up with the same idea that our doctor did. Like you have it all under control.
Everyone's a therapist. That's the thing.
Yeah. But you know what's great about the therapist, which me and Chris have the same therapist, and I've been trying to get him to break for me for you know a few weeks, and he finally broke, Chris. He finally broke, and he told me something about you by accident, and it was great. I felt like I such a victory.
So you specifically are spending lots of time. A concerted amount of effort during your own session trying to get him to break, or like this is like in passing type stuff. How's it work for you?
We talk about you every single session. It comes up. At some point, your name comes up. First, he was like, this week, he was like, I can't believe you didn't give up your time slot for Chris.
Oh, did he really say that? Yeah, it's messed up.
Yeah, he was like, I'm very disappointed in you.
Well, that's true.
He was joking. I guess he was joking.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I said to him, well, I can't believe that you're not going to be here next week and you didn't tell me. And he's like, no, I'm going to be here for you. And I was like, now we're getting somewhere, Doc.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Sorry.
I wasn't aware of the fact that that he was going to be gone for the whole day. But
do you ever think of it this way? If his doctor is spending this much time with him talking about you, maybe that's what his doctor feels he needs to be discussing with him. Maybe you're
that's
a major issue in his life.
It could be. It's very.
Well, here's the thing. I started talking about the diet that I'm going on, or that I'm currently on, and he was like, maybe you should ask Chris about the diet he's on. And I'm like, oh, Chris is on a diet? And he instantly kind of like turned red and was just like, and I was like, yes, I got it. You finally broke. And he was like, he tried to play it off like,
mortified.
I think everyone knows he's on a diet.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you listen to the show more often, you would kind of know, I guess,
ouch,
that Mr. Chris is on a diet.
Well, I mean,
wait, you guys have a show?
No. We're just friends. We do party lines sometimes. That's it. But if you see me, I guess he assumes that because I guess as much as we talk or as much as you talk about me on your during your sessions and then actually as I talk about you, I guess he thinks that we see each other a lot more often than we do. So I guess he's seen the fact that I've lost 50 plus pounds, and I guess he would assume that you would have noticed that as well. But we don't really see each other. We really just talk on the phone more than anything else on the show.
It would still win. Yeah, well, I was talking to him about like friends and like my lack of friends. Like, well, you have Chris. Why don't you call up Chris? And I'm like, I never really call up Chris.
Yeah.
Unless it's a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Unless I've got a great idea for getting a guest for my show. And I understand that. I totally understand that. So you were alluding to the fact that you were talking about your diet. You're trying to get ideas for your diet. I've noticed via Facebook, as I'm seeing messages on Facebook, as I'm being invited to your video blog about your diet. What's the story with this?
Well, it happened. I always go and check my weight at the nurse's office at my school, and because I feel like I'm getting a little bit of a belly, you know. And I hit like 185, which is the most I've ever weighed in my life. And I'm still a skinny guy. Whatever. You guys could joke, but
no, 185 is pretty big for you. Like I actually kind of put you at like a 160 or a 150 or something when I saw you.
Dream.
Did you used to weigh that maybe 5 years ago?
I weighed 160 like my entire life, and then boom, 2 years ago was like, what the F is this?
You realize 160 is kind of like unhealthy skinny.
Anorexic,
for you.
I think is what they call it.
Right? 180,
no, no,
180,
no,
185 is probably what you're fighting weight.
Well,
that's what you should be.
Now let's set the stage here. Jay, just so we're clear, you're what, 6'1", something like that?
I'm 6 foot.
Yeah, 6 foot.
No way am I a middleweight. I'm fighting at welterweight at 170.
Yeah. No, actually, you're a middleweight, dude.
But
I'm 6'3". I don't know, tipping maybe 275 right now.
Yeah, but that's a super
heavyweight. There's no way I'm fighting at 185.
You probably should, but
that's ridiculous.
You do also realize that you're really skinny, though. That's why you think it's you're a smaller framed gentleman.
And he thinks that's fat.
I'm really skinny,
like,
but when I wear a fitted shirt, it looks like I have a little, 3-month baby.
Fat. is what he's saying.
Fittage
shirt.
Is that a matter of working out?
He says fat.
I'll put it this way. I'm not even 6 foot one. I'm like 6.5 inches, and my goal weight to get to is 185. Like, that's the end. That's right. That's me getting to the perfect place.
I know, but
place.
You're a big guy. No, what? No insult
what
intended.
What are you trying to say?
What I'm suggesting is that there's some sort of like anorexia going on here.
Absolutely.
Like, Monty's got some weird kind of like.
Just because you appreciate when things like this happen, it's manorexia it's called when
you know
it's
what?
A fella doing it.
Jay was saying as far as a fitted shirt, Jay, as far as when you put a fitted shirt, the guys here at the table now, just think about it. Do you picture yourself ever wearing a fitted shirt?
My shirt fits me.
Like, no, I mean like that hugs the body.
Absolutely. I'm going to
start wearing one every. Who? I wear one every day.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the fatties here at the table.
I used to. About 10 years ago.
I'm going to be wearing fitted shirts soon. You just wait.
I used to wear shirts that were fitted for medium sized girls.
And then, I don't mean a fitted shirt like a muscle shirt, like a skin tight shirt. I mean
no
a
spandex?
Fitted shirt like a. You know, like the kids are wearing.
All right. Here's the issue.
Not like a double XL.
Here's the issue, I think, Monty, maybe. Like, you're purchasing fitted shirts, but you want them to feel somewhat baggy. Like, a fitted shirt is actually supposed to cling to your body. It's supposed to fit you and show off your muscles and make you look gay. I mean, Italian.
No, I think we're missing the connection on what a fitted shirt actually is. We're getting off topic.
All right.
A fitted shirt is not, like, going to show my muscles off. A fitted shirt will, like, snug to my body. If I have a little belly, it'll show it off. Which I don't want to show off.
Bare midriff. Bare midriff is the answer, I think.
You can go into shop. You can go shopping in any like department store and like, well, not any, but like say like a place like Sears even. Like they'll have two different types of shirts. They'll have like the regular polo shirts that just kind of hang loose. Not too loose, but sort of hang loose if you have a little stomach. Exactly, if you have a little stomach coming out. And then there's the other ones that like they look exactly the same, but I think it's all in the material. And don't ask me what kind of material it is, but it's all in the material. If you wear it, like he said, if you have, you know, if your stomach isn't completely flat, it's going to show. If you have a little in the man boob area, then that's going to show as well.
Titties. We call those titties.
Also, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys know about me. I don't shop at Sears.
Shop at JCPenney's.
He doesn't strike you as a
Gap guy.
He's talking about what all the kids wear, of course.
I will take Sears structure shirts any day, as long as I fit into them.
That's great, but here's the thing. The nurse says to me, I got this diet. It's called the Middle East diet, and you could lose 18 pounds in 14 days. I say, great, that's the diet I want. It tells you what to eat. Every single day, right? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, I don't know what it has to do with Middle East. Like, I thought I'd be eating gyros all day. But
shawarma. I'm dying for something.
I don't even know if that's Middle East, but I know, like, the guy who sells it to me is. But I fit, like, the thing is, I'll read you a little bit about this.
Are you eating this diet while you're talking to us?
I was just going
to
say, this diet must consist of something happening right now.
So you tell I'm eating?
Yeah, absolutely.
You sound like Brian.
I got to do something in between you guys talking.
Listening is what most people do.
Let's all listen at once.
Being spirited. All right. So the Middle Eastern diet. You don't know what the goal behind it is, but I like the idea that it's giving you specifics on what to eat. It's taking all the thinking out of it. It's doing it for you, making everything very easy. So what is the story behind the Middle Eastern diet?
To kill the Jews.
Well, what I decided to do was to promote the upcoming new season of Mid Evenings with Jay Miller starting in July. I was like, I'll do a video blog every day documenting my diet. And so I started on day one, but I didn't realize, there's two things I didn't realize. One, I did not realize how hungry I was going to be every single day.
What's with this lack of food and the hunger that it creates?
Number two, I didn't realize how badly I love cake. Because I yearn. I don't even crave it. I yearn for cake about 20 hours a day. I had a dream last night. Do you know what it was of?
I'm going to guess some sort of, I don't know, ice cream or?
No, actually my dream was unrelated. I was in the jungle and my temple was there, but that's different. But I woke up and wanted cake. Everything is just cake.
How much cake do you consume in your life under normal non-diet conditions?
Look, I wake up in the morning, I have a bowl of Frosty Flakes. right?
That's not cake.
I have a bowl of frosted cakes. That's what I was waiting
okay.
for.
Okay. And I go to work. I go to the store. I get a chocolate muffin, right? Maybe a Yoo-hoo.
Not cake.
Then for lunch at noon, I go and get a giant sandwich. Hold on a second. Chicken
you're gonna
cutlet
say,
sandwich?
You're going to say a muffin isn't a cake? A muffin is absolutely
no,
a cake.
No, it's not.
It 100%
you,
is.
Wait a second. Do you mean an English muffin? Or do you mean an English muffin or like a corn muffin?
Oh, my God. They make chocolate English muffins?
You said chocolate? A chocolate muffin is a cake.
Right, absolutely. Of course it is. So that's a cake.
No, it's not.
I don't got news for you. A sandwich?
A cake has icings and candles on it.
A sandwich? A sandwich is a meat cake. That's all it is.
Stop it.
It definitely is.
Is that what you mean by cake, Monty? Your frosted flakes you call cake because it involves sugar?
I didn't say frosted flakes were cakes.
No, that's not cake. Okay. But a chocolate muffin.
I would constitute a muffin as cake. It's a cake tree, if you will.
All right.
Hey,
why
Brian.
Is that ridiculous? Listen,
Brian.
If I cut off the top of a muffin and I put Duncan Hines on it, what is it? It's a mini cake.
If you take that muffin and instead of making it out of muffin material, make it out of cake material and then put icing on top of it, then I'll call it a cake.
No, but you are making it out of cake material. It absolutely 100% is cake material. Are you nuts?
It's not. The consistency
sugary.
Of a cake is different from the consistency of a muffin. I'm sorry.
I don't agree with you.
Crazy. This is the craziest argument ever.
Stick to your bread, Brian.
And there's no icing. It's not cake. Cake for me is cake.
Frosting
it's got sugar and
is it double dog?
It has to have frosting and icing on it.
Kinda,
that's crazy talk.
Is it double dog?
There's no such thing as an angel food cake.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, good one, Chris.
I don't even know what it
pound
is.
Cake.
Pound cake. Okay, so that's cake without icing.
It's cake.
I suppose so. That's a waste of
banana
cake,
bread.
If you ask me.
Banana bread.
Banana bread is not cake.
Cake.
A banana loaf. A banana loaf is not
bread.
Cake.
Not cake.
Endemin sells it.
Yeah.
They also sell
bread.
They sell cookies.
And cookies. Is a cookie a cake?
Yes.
Stop
it's
it.
A miniature flat.
You guys are just silly.
It's miniature unleavened cake.
When I go to my deli and I get a bran muffin, I'm not eating cake. I'm eating a nice,
He's not getting a
healthy...
Bran, not a bran muffin, first of all. And
I'm
no, it's not healthy.
Chocolate cake muffin.
Well, if it says chocolate cake, if they're making a muffin out of chocolate cake, then I can understand you.
That's what I'm calling it from now on.
Bastardize. All right. But you're not truly eating any real cake every day.
So far, he said chocolate muffin and a chicken cutlet hero, which to me is a meat cake.
So now this is what you were eating, or this is what you're eating on your diet?
No, this is what I was eating. And then I would come home and I would eat this. I make myself a hot fudge sundae. Because what I do is I take the hot fudge, scoop it into the bowl, heat it up for about 10 seconds, then put the ice cream on top of that. And then it's a race, you know, because you want to eat it before it turns into, chocolate soup. But then the thing is, if you lose the race, you know what the prize is?
Chocolate soup.
Oh, delicious. That really is a great
prize.
So you
just have a raging sweet tooth. That's your problem, I think.
Yeah.
So what have you been eating?
I'm just dying for, like, I haven't had sweets. I'm on, today's day 7.
I'm going to guess.
It's a 14-day diet.
I'm going to guess that the first 6 days, there was no cake anyplace in the Middle Eastern diet.
There's no cake. There's not even a what do you call that cake? Baba ganoush? Is that a cake?
I don't really think so, but it's cake-ish.
That's a completely different radio show.
It's Greek as well, isn't it?
Hey, Monty, how's your irritable level? Are you getting, you finding yourself more irritable being on this diet because you're hungry? And are you like, are you more like a loose cannon?
Shut up, Rob.
So I work at a school, and I work with kids, right? And the kids are 11 years old. And I work really well with the kids. They're emotionally disturbed. They know how to get you mad. But I'm very calm and very patient and very rarely yell at them. Today, I was starving. And one of the kids kind of started with me, did a whole, like, get the last word in. And then he told me to shut my mouth. And when I get angry, I get, like, beet red, like a tomato. Like a tomato cake.
Cakey tomatoes.
So I got so red, and I was screaming, and then, like, knocked the desk over and had to walk out of the classroom.
What?
Because I was like, I'm like a maniac.
What do you mean? Wait, was it like a little kid's desk, or was it the big teacher's desk at the front of the...
11 years old. They've got to have, like you're saying, I think everything
is
in the
is it the student's desk,
yeah,
or is it the teacher's?
What am I, the Hulk? What is wrong with you? It's a little kid's desk I flipped over.
Well, I mean,
he knocked the desk over, went outside, and threw a car into the classroom at that kid.
It's ridiculous from that context, but now I'm also envisioning to like knock that desk over for the kid. The kid's sitting at the desk.
Roar me, Cake Man!
When he turns into the Hulk, is he allowed to eat cake?
So you knocked the kid's desk over after
the Red Hulk. That one of the girls was like, Mr. Miller, you turn into a bad man. I was like, I'm sorry, guys.
Did you get in trouble for this?
No. I mean, the kid was rude, and then I called his mother.
It's okay. You should have hit him. The
thing is, every other pitcher screams at them. I'm like the one non-screamer.
How in this day and age can a teacher not get arrested for throwing a child's desk?
Not the child, just the desk.
No, it wasn't his desk. It was my desk I was sitting at.
Threw it across the room.
And well, no, I just knocked it down.
Okay.
He toppled
it. You're really on this whole thing. Remember, I'm a middleweight. I weigh like 175 pounds.
All right.
Whoa, 175,
and
success.
I was so hungry that I could barely knock it over.
It was like a feather trying to knock over a brick wall with that desk.
They weren't that intimidated. They figured, why?
Yeah, I really like kind of tipped it, and then it took like a few seconds to tip over. So really, yeah, it wasn't really a menacing.
One of the other kids in the class got up and helped it over when they felt bad about it.
He knocked it over in his mind.
So is this going to be on your mind now for your when you see your therapist that you're going to, I guess, dive more into this as far as your – how are you dealing with this diet and the type of person it's turning you into?
No, my doctor thinks the diet's a great thing for me because here's the thing, is that it's telling me like to eat. Now, I don't cook at all, right? So it's telling me like at night I eat a grilled chicken, okay? So I just put a chicken in the pan. Boring, but you know what? Put a little lemon on it. You know what you got? Lemon chicken.
Exciting. And you're allowed to have that?
Yeah,
because the lemon puts it over the top.
I'm saying it's making you feel like it's supposed to be very specific. Do you go to Kentucky to KFC and get a Kentucky grilled chicken? Would that count for your grilled chicken?
No, I feel like there's too much sodium in that. But let me tell you about what I made today for the first time ever. Because today for dinner is steamed vegetables, right? And I never steamed a vegetable before. I did it for the first time this week. Who knew it was that easy? You put it in the microwave.
Nice. Yeah. Fantastic.
I needed a steamer. You know what? Last night, I made shrimp. Who's ever done that?
It's true.
It's a first, not only for money, but for
mankind. Today I went and bought a cauliflower, right? Chopped up a cauliflower, put it in a Tupperware, put a spoonful of garlic in it, put it in the microwave. You know what I'm eating now? Garlic cauliflower.
Wow, I've never even heard of that thing before, but it sounds terrific. It sounds outrageous.
And I can't wait to eat the food that I'm making when I start eating regular food again, because everything that I'm eating is so delicious.
I know that
once I eat like a hamburger and then I eat a garlic cauliflower, it's going to be gross.
Yeah.
Well, the thing isn't that this stuff is bad. It's just that it's the amount of it, I guess, that you're having, and the fact that it's the only thing you can have. When you can have yourself a hamburger with a side of garlic cauliflower, I think you might get a charge out of it.
But Jay, if your system's not used to eating all these vegetables, Chris will probably attest to this, that, you know, your body goes through a little bit of disposing it a little bit differently. If you're eating cauliflower for the first time in years, oh boy.
I think it's fantastic. I think it'll be terrific.
If I could get a little bit personal, my insides are not really reacting the way that I thought they would. You would think that it would be like a John Spencer Brown explosion every night, but nothing's really happening.
No John Spencer Green's explosion, even nothing of that nature. Everything's
nothing's really going on.
It's just your movements are just as productive as they were before, and not more frequent.
Oh no. I mean, I used to look forward to coming home every day at 3 o'clock, and that's like was my time. But now, I don't know. A few days go by.
Ooh. Wait, you're getting constipated from eating?
Well, here's the thing. What exactly is constipation? Is it the feeling that you have to go and you don't? No. Or is it the feeling that you just don't?
When poo is not coming out at a normal in normal intervals, in standard intervals.
What's normal?
I would say at least once every 2 days.
Six times a day.
For normal, I go once a day. But I would say at least once every 2 days you gotta go. And sometimes I'll go twice a day. But if you're not going at, if you go 2 days without making a poo piece, you're in trouble.
Jay, was did this diet start like very liquidy and like really not having a lot of material, like solid foods or what?
No, here's the thing. I'll sum it up. Every morning I got to eat two eggs, hard-boiled eggs, and an orange every morning. And then at night sometimes it's like, chicken or a grilled steak or a vegetable or this... just a salad. And then lunch is like all the fruit you could eat. You know, so I'm sure that's weird.
When was the last time that you made a bowel movement?
As of right now. December.
He's thinking about it.
I can't remember if it was yesterday morning or Tuesday morning.
Ooh.
More than 2 days without a poo is pretty bad, I'm thinking.
And you
but nothing feels it. I don't like have to go.
He doesn't have the urge.
I think his body, you know, maybe it's just a transition period.
Maybe you broke it.
7 days in.
He broke it. Yeah. Maybe you need you need more cake in your
diet.
Do
like the guys do. No blood, but good.
I broke it and I never have to poo again.
Oh, my God.
Just think, you know what? If I never have to poo again, that basically means that I'm never, ever going to read a book again.
Oh, it's a shame. It's really a shame.
You should really be, whether it's included in the diet plan or not, you should really, if this continues, be eating like those little, like, those two little fruity fiber pills you chew like once a day or something along those lines.
I don't know. He seems like he's already getting a lot of fiber.
I know the fruit and stuff. It's just so odd.
It's amazing.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever finished a book from the bathroom and then been like, wow, how long am I in the bathroom for? Like, read like an entire book.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Right? I do a lot of my reading in the bathroom.
I never read anything.
I do a lot of reading
as fast
in the
as I possibly can.
I don't read tons in the bathroom, but I've definitely. I won't say.
Did you read the ice shirt in the bathroom?
Right. I don't do the majority of my reading in the bathroom, but I've definitely done a substantial amount of reading in the bathroom. Absolutely. I have certain books that are my bathroom books that are things that I don't mind walking away from, as opposed to ones like that I sit in bed and read or sit on the couch and read. They exist. They're out there.
I can't get out of the bathroom fast enough. Like, when I'm in there, I immediately want to get out.
You're not locked in. No one changed you in. You can get out fast enough if you really want. Crap all over the floor.
That's
the
what hole. I mean. I'm in there. It's like I'm racing against myself. I don't know, like, who's ever going to win or lose.
I'm in there. As soon as I'm done, I'm out. But I kind of wish that it would be a longer process because I like reading. But when I was a kid, my dad would go into the bathroom with the newspaper. He would come out like 45 minutes later.
Crossword puzzle done.
I always wondered what was going on.
Missing paper.
Yeah, I think
sheets.
That's a thing for some people. I think they just kind of like reading in there.
Yeah, it's a nice little relaxing place.
Especially when you're trying to get away from your wife.
My uncle Bob.
Hello, cake.
My Uncle Bob had a little rack in the bathroom that was filled with just everything you could possibly imagine. Every book, crossword puzzle books. It was amazing. I'm going to say, without exaggeration, I'm going to say at any time 30 to 40 books. It was almost like a small bookcase that he had in the bathroom of just like little things to read. Take care of yourself.
Brian, what if Sony makes a little like bathroom PlayStation and you don't have to go in seven times a day? Oh. You can just wake up and spend 20 hours in the bathroom.
Like the wee bathroom.
Oh, man, the wee-wee. I love the idea of it. I love the wee-wee. Be fantastic. So you have you've been chronicling this. You've been going the whole way through it. Every meal that you're talking about, or is it more than just the meals that you're talking about?
No, it's not really the meals. It's just like a video blog where I talk about my day. And I've done interviews with my friends, and I did one with my mother. And what happened was the blogs wind up being like really they're doing really well, and people are really enjoying them. Mm-hmm. And which is a problem because everyone now wants me to keep doing it because they think it's so funny.
Starve to death. Like, starve to death. Keep going.
Well, it started out with everyone being like, this is so stupid. You know this is not how you diet. All you got to do is cut out this. All you got to do is – yeah, I know. It's a bit, you know. and everyone's like, you got to stop this. You got to stop. But after the third vlog, everyone's like, you got to keep this up. And now everyone's like, you got to do it. I'm like, got to do what? Why? It's so stupid. This is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
I've got to say, as dumb as it is, I've found it compelling. I've enjoyed everything I've been watching, especially friends coming to your house with pizza while you're mid diet. You know, things like these are exciting little things. There's a lot of stuff. If people want to check your video diet blog out, how do they get to it?
I wasn't aware that you watched it.
Of course I do. Come on.
I have 100 views on each video, which doesn't seem like a lot, but that's like, who's 100 people?
100 people that care about what your diet blog is. It does seem like a lot, doesn't it?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Where is it? Tell us. I want to know.
Okay, if you go to youtube.com/, baby has a secret.
Okay. Baby has a secret.
YouTube.com, yeah. Baby has a secret, and we'll be sure to check it out and do anything. How long before the show's back?
Oh, can I announce it here? Exclusive?
I wish you would.
The show is returning to Martini Red on July 23rd.
Nice, 1 month away.
For another run. We're going to do another run of 5 shows, but we're also going to have a few special shows involved, a few special things. Ooh, we should get you guys involved.
Ooh, I love the idea of it.
Will there be cake?
Okay. There will definitely be cake. Okay. Before I even bring it up to you guys, let me figure it out first, because I don't want to tell you guys and then you can't do it.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I look forward to whatever it is that you come up with for us. I look forward to the whole thing. YouTube.com/baby's got a secret. That was baby's got a secret?
Baby, singular. One baby has a secret.
Oh, baby has a secret. Baby has a secret. Excellent.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for giving me the chance to talk, Jay.
Thanks, man, and good luck for the next 7 days.
Oh, God. See ya.
Awesome. After that, I hope all this luck goes to hell. It's just the next 7 days that I'm really concerned with. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the Internet. This is HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears.
I just said that new style. That's the Vagabond Souls here on Heroes Talk. Yeah, what? You don't like when I do rock radio voice? Vagabond Souls record release show is Friday, July 24th, 11 p.m. at the Bitter End in New York City. That's 147 Bleecker Street. Hosted by our buddy Barb. Hope to see you there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be enjoying it. It's our buddy Dom Monacode. And it's going to be an exciting time of good music and fun stuff. I hope everyone comes out that night. Awesome. Awesome. It's Best in Show, Best in Show. Well, you don't like awesome? It's Best in Show, Best in Show, Rare.com, here on Heroes Talk, where we do awesome. What? What's wrong, Brian?
No, I was just rolling my eyes.
I'm sorry, Bobby. I didn't know your voice was changing. No, was that Peter that's his voice changed or Bobby?
Peter.
Know.
Time to change.
I was rolling my eyes not at your awesome, but just as the fact that the song ended unexpectedly quick for me. So I had to sprint the 20 feet.
It's like a 20-minute song.
it like from the 20 feet from the sliding glass door out where I was enjoying a cigarette over here, and I like got dizzy. I'm actually dizzy now.
So oh. you got a head rush from walking, not from the cigarette itself.
Yeah, maybe a little both.
Got a Middle Eastern diet you might want to look into. It'll help you out and make things work for you.
Well, all this talk about food actually got me thinking about some of my recent food. Events, I guess.
Cauliflower with broccoli? Was that what it was?
No, actually, being unemployed, as everything seems to stem in my life now from that basic fact, during the week, I have more time to prepare breakfast. Usually, I'm waking up in a late panic and trying to run to the office before, you know, I'm too late that people will start noticing. And if I can cram, like, a bowl of cereal or a bran cake in my mouth, then, you know, I'm satisfied. But now, during the week, I can make eggs, and I can make, like, egg sandwiches. I can, like, go over easy. And
when you're saying egg sandwich, what do you mean by egg sandwich?
I have a very particular recipe.
That's what I'm kind of figuring. I'm sorry. Is it scrambled? Does it change from day in to day out, or is it the same thing?
No, my egg sandwich is usually that's what I'm making when I'm making eggs, and it's like two eggs with American cheese on a toasted English muffin with mayonnaise, ketchup, and hot sauce. And it's delicious.
Congratulations.
It's the mayonnaise and ketchup combination that usually gross people out that makes it delicious. You'd love it, Keith.
I don't know that it's gross necessarily. I wouldn't think mayonnaise for a breakfast sandwich. It just wouldn't strike me.
It's really good. I don't know. I think it's just the combo that makes it.
Our buddy Erica Durka is saying it sounds great. She loves the idea of it. So, hey, who knows?
And one side of the English muffin has the mayonnaise and the other side has the cheese. So I melt the cheese onto that when I flip the egg over, I put the cheese on the egg, and then I put the toasted English muffin onto that, so it all melts into like a nice little dish. I prepare it nicely.
Not since you were talking about video games about an hour ago have I heard you sound so excited about anything in the world. You're really going places.
Well, that used to be I could have that once a week because, you know, you need some time on the weekend, and I didn't want to burn myself out on it. Now I'm doing it much more often, to the fact that I'm going through eggs more than I have before. What with the egg salad fantasies that I've been having, and cooking these egg sandwiches all the time.
I can't wait to hear what your cholesterol is. I can't wait.
I imagine it's pretty bad. I'm not going to go to a doctor and have them tell me it's bad. I just know it. But
when you cut yourself and your blood comes out like Play-Doh, I guess it's a sign that there's probably something wrong.
But something happened to me. It actually happened twice. In 1 week and, you know, in one sort of dozen egg sitting that I purchased, I cracked open an egg and two yolks came out. And it kind of, whenever that happens, it's happened in a rare occasion. And whenever I do it, it's just like I kind of throw it out, basically. I'm like,
really?
It grosses me out.
I don't even like to touch it. It grosses me out beyond belief. I have chills right now. Like,
what the hell are you guys talking about?
The hair on the top of my head kind of stands up. I get goosebumps, and I look at it, and there's no, like, blood or anything in there. It's just there's two yolks, and it's creepy. It really creeps me out, and it's so much so that I insist that it tastes different.
I got to be honest. I am blown away right now because to me, I don't eat eggs as often as I used to, and when I do eat eggs now, I generally eat egg whites. I don't really get eggs, but when I would have eggs, like when I was younger and eat eggs, I would look at that as like almost like, ooh, I hit the jackpot. Got two yolks in this one. That's fantastic. What's wrong with two yolks?
I don't know.
I think it reminds me of what an egg is. And that's just kind of the reason that it's just like, ugh.
So dry your tears on your pig skin that you're frying next to it. Yeah. You'll be just fine with it.
Maybe it's, you know, you see like images of cellular growth and you see the two cells kind of splitting. It looks like that. It looks like the cells are they're not round. They're sort of oblong and flat in the middle.
Now
where it gets weird.
This is your head making this crazy for you because they're round. They're just round yolks. They're fine. And it's extra. Yeah. It's twins. It's a couple. It's an extra little partner. It's exciting.
It grosses me out so much.
You could smash one of the yolks with the bread, and then you could eat one whole.
Mm. Or you could just take an extra egg and crack it and eat that.
But why is one any less gross than the other? It's still the same thing.
It probably isn't, but to me it is. To me it's.
And I'm trying to understand it, though.
It makes very little logical sense. If I had to come up with an idea of why it maybe skeeves me out is – it's, you know, what we're looking at is sort of like a genetic mutation, which we call twins. And it seems to be happening more with, like, the extra large eggs or in our sort of mass-produced consumer culture where we're injecting hormones into the chickens to, you know, give us bigger eggs.
Super egg.
Right. So this is some sort of weird sort of genetic mutation that I'm eating.
Conjoined eggs. I love the idea of conjoined eggs. By the way, if you don't like anything conjoined, don't listen to this past Tuesday's episode of the DJ New Style Show. There's a lot of interesting Siamese twin talk going on in there, conjoined twin, two-headed massiveness.
Well, it skeeved me out enough, but I had a bit of a moral dilemma. Usually I just, like, throw it out and I crack open, like, two eggs. But I was at the – or more eggs, and I'll – if it happens to be the second egg that I'm cracking open and there's two yolks in there, I'll throw the three yolks out. Yeah. They all go out and I start over because I don't want the thing mixing in with the other one.
I'm telling you, like I said, as a kid, I would look at that as like, ooh, I win again. I've got another one. And if you get two of those, it's like you're having a four-egg omelet for the size of two. Oh, you're the biggest winner ever.
The first time it happened recently was when I was cooking on the weekend, which means I'm also cooking for my girlfriend. When I'm making eggs, I'm
give
making
her the
eggs
double egg.
That's what I was considering. I'm looking at it and I'm going, I can't really do this. I'm just going to do it, you know, give it to her because she's not going to mind.
Right.
And then I realized, well, she could mind. She's probably just as much of a human as I am. So I was forced to go ask her because I only had four eggs. Like, if these get thrown away, one of us isn't going to have eggs that morning. So I went to her
She's
and I said –
She's going hungry. Maybe you're getting a double shot or you're going hungry. Or it's a cereal day.
I'm not eating this. I'm going to throw it away. Do you still want eggs? She's like, you're nuts. Let me have these eggs.
Of course.
Yeah, so she ended up eating them. And I judged her a little bit for that. Like, she went out and ate the genetically mutated eggs, and it was kind of like,
I'm appealing to the chat rooms. I want to know, are these two guys crazy? Am I alone in this, in the fact that I think that there's nothing wrong with eating two eggs, so two yolks and one egg?
I even thought that if I threw one of them away, I would be able to eat the other one.
No, I can't even.
But I couldn't. But
why couldn't you just separate the two of them?
But I couldn't even do that. I had to throw them both away.
I don't understand.
They've mingled. Like when you crack open an egg and one egg gets mixed in with the other egg that you just cracked open, that the two eggs have now sort of like become
melded.
Too much of each other. Like they don't go into – I'm not – cracking them into little cookie containers. They're going right to the pan. They're mixing up.
Right.
And I can't have those streams crossing.
But what are they contaminating it with? That egg is getting egg all over it?
Yeah.
It's getting extra egg all over it. Ew.
It's getting egg X. Egg right. X is getting mixed in with the egg.
At least I know I'm not crazy. Our buddy Buddy Knuckles is with it. And Brittany Pablo is saying that she's down with it too. Moltars is down. It's I think everyone's fine with eating eggs.
I mean, that
no matter
kind of
how they come out.
It skeeved me out. And knowing that it doesn't really make logical sense kind of brought me to that that conclusion that there's a lot of things in this world that bother me that really have no reason to bother me. And I wonder if there's anything like that for you guys. Like this definite egg thing is the most recent stuff, but stupid things that probably bother a lot of people, like, you know, you always hear the people scratching your fingers on a chalkboard. Like, for some reason, that sound or the feeling of that sound.
It's the imagining the feeling of the sound as opposed to the
Why?
Actual
what,
thing.
What is – it doesn't particularly bother me that much. I mean, I guess I can sort of understand it. But what is it about that sound or the feeling?
The thinking of the nails that are grinding up against it, maybe getting bent a little back to me is what it is. It's not the sound. It's the idea of the nails against the board. The nails scrape against an unforgiving material.
Yeah.
That's what I would think it is.
Vinyl records scraping against each other. Just my body is all tightly wound right now, just thinking of
that's lot. That's logical for me because I feel like I'm destroying the vinyl. Like if someone started
like that though.
Oh really?
Yeah, I can't even talk.
See, my thing like that is styrofoam, and not just styrofoam rubbing up against each other. Just styrofoam. Like I'll see styrofoem and I look at it and it irritates me. Just knowing that it can touch
the involvement of it even being around.
If it's going to touch something, if it's going to move, that means that it's going to have to move against something else, and it's going to irritate. And there's no logic behind it. What is it about these things that annoy us?
I don't know. By the way, Brittany Pablo suggests that she hates it when people wear short sleeve button up shirts. It makes her slightly ill.
That irritates the hell out of me.
Why? What's the
know.
Problem?
I don't know. It's
not a polo shirt you're talking about. You're saying a full-on button-up. A full-on button-up shirt if it's short-sleeve button-up.
That's sort of like a classic nerdy engineer wear thing. Like an engineer will wear a button-up shirt, buttoned up to the collar, and even wear a tie. And if it's short-sleeve, that irritates me. Even worse is when they don't wear the tie.
I was going to say, if you don't wear the tie and leave the top button unbuttoned, is that worse than with the tie?
It's pretty bad, man.
Because the short sleeve button up with the tie to me screams detective. That's a different weird thing to it. But like,
blue collar kind of trying to be white collar or something. I don't really know what it's. It's not logical.
I will have you know. I've been known to wear a button up short sleeve shirt to work, and my business card does say engineer on it. So, what am I going to tell
you? My wife calls those people produce managers when she sees them.
No, but like if it's like a nice fashion statement,
like,
though.
Like a regular dress shirt, short sleeve dress shirts, produce manager.
But even if it's a pattern, though. I'm saying if there's a pattern
what?
On the shirt. If it's like
what does that have to do with it?
Because a produce manager to me would have a plain white short sleeve shirt or a light blue short sleeve shirt.
And we're not
shirt.
Talking polo. We're not talking the one that just has three buttons. We're talking
I only have one. I have one green plaid short sleeve button up shirt that I wear to work fairly often. I know I've worn it on the show before because I've come here after work all the time. I'm wearing a polo shirt today after work. I know I've worn
it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah.
Would that fit into the category
of a
produce shirt?
I'm talking about an actual dress shirt.
That is a dress shirt. It's a dress shirt, but because it's plaid, it's distracting.
That's fine. I guess I don't even like a full button-up short-sleeve shirt, perhaps because of the very threat that it could be buttoned up all the way to the top. Like, it's illogical. Like, put sleeves on it, fine. Take those sleeves off and make it button up. There's something weird about it, and it's not good. It's not a good kind of weird.
I don't. I can't say that I say it. I'm trying to think what the weird things are that I can
styrofoam,
have.
Styrofoam, does that do? It sounds like the nail on the chalkboard is definitely.
Nail on the chalkboard bothers me, but it's not. I mean, like, no, it's not something that I consciously worry about all that often. It's kind of the same thing as, like, chewing on tinfoil. Like, it's not something I do, so I wouldn't think about it.
Okay, I've heard about this before, and I don't know what that problem is.
Do you have
is.
Metal fillings?
I don't know.
When you look in the mirror, do you see metal in your teeth?
I think I have fillings, and they may be...
Rob, could you get a piece of aluminum foil and let Brian chew on a piece of aluminum foil so he could understand what chewing on aluminum foil with metal fillings does?
Is it like battery? It like zaps you like
Would
a battery?
Would you please? No, it doesn't zap you. It's just kind of gross. It's just kind of gross. That's all. Rob, please. Please, for the love of God, get him a piece of tin foil so he can chew on it. Or aluminium foil is what I would prefer.
There's that. What are some of the other things that I've heard bother? Oh, grinding your teeth? People who grind their teeth? Does
you
that
could,
bother you?
You cannot be a former cocaine addict and not be fine with grinding your teeth. I've never had an issue with it once.
You're suggesting I'm a former cocaine addict?
No, I'm suggesting that I was. So that I've never had a problem with grinding teeth.
It's other just, people grinding their teeth doesn't
no,
matter.
No, because it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me even a little bit.
But that's another. That's a weird. It's not a gross thing. It's just the sound, I guess, kind of irritates.
Oh, Kara's suggesting in the Pal Talk room that she grinds when she sleeps. I can't. Like I said, I wouldn't know what I do when I sleep, so that doesn't bother. And like I said, seeing someone else grind their teeth doesn't bother me.
I grind my teeth like crazy.
Yeah, but if
they
you
look
saw
like
someone
chiclets
else,
chiclets now, little baby Tic Tacs for teeth are what you have now because you've grinded them down to little nubs. Yeah, I've never had an issue with
actually,
that. Styrofoam doesn't bother me either. Like people chew on styrofoam don't bother me.
Oh,
I don't care.
Chewing on styrofoam. What human being have you ever seen chew on styrofoam?
If you're drinking coffee out of a styrofoam cup, you've never bit the coffee a cup. I've looked in a mirror while drinking coffee out of a styrofoam cup.
What are you? First of all, why are you chewing the cups that you're drinking your liquids out of?
Why wouldn't you? If you're having a little something, you're enjoying yourself and having a good time. Why wouldn't you? That's just something that I would do.
I don't know. I guess that sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, I've never like I said, the nails on the trunk part I guess would bother me. Particular foods I think bother me, but it's just because I think they're gross. It's not like it's a thing. It's not like it's a thing that bothers me so much, you know? Like
shuffling of the feet. I've heard people complain about people who shuffle their feet, like they drag their feet.
Okay.
Or something.
And again, these are for specific reasons. Here we go. Brian now has some aluminum foil.
This much?
No, take a little piece of it. Just like rip it in like a quarter of it. A quarter of that. And chew that up a little bit. Get yourself set up. You're not getting any sort of weird little feelings any place in your mouth, any place in there. Don't swallow it. I don't think it's good.
No.
I don't. You
I'm going with the molars, too, so I can...
You can't possibly have metal fillings.
What's it supposed to feel like?
It does feel battery-ish. You do get that little bit of a jolt.
It tastes nasty. It tastes like metal.
Yeah, no, you can't have metal fillings. You get that little zap that goes... It's not like an electrical zap, but you get like a little like a little polarity
like a
as you go in there. You know what grosses me out more than anything else in the entire world is when someone comes into the room and they're actually on the show with us and they're here and we don't get to introduce them. It's our buddy Ronnie Hill. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
Hanging out.
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Oh, we're having an outrageous time. We're talking about things that are disgusting, things that gross us out.
There's a CD for you.
Oh, this is a CD? What kind of CD is this?
It is a CD for you.
Oh, thank you.
This is the new... Brian's now addicted to chewing on tinfoil. This is the new tryptophan record, huh?
It's a tryptophan record.
Exciting.
Look, it has a barcode.
It has a barcode on it. This is very exciting.
It was pressed.
This is very exciting news. What's the story?
We've been with tryptophan or with the record?
All of it. We're friends. We're talking about it all.
Okay. This is a record we've been working on for like 5 years.
Nice.
And, you know, we've never actually made a proper record. We've made MP3 downloads. We've made CDRs. We've burned them on our computer. We've handed them out. We've made cassettes. We've, you know, done everything homemade. This we actually went to a place and they had them stamped. And because we're all men now, we're men,
grown ups,
and we all were able to chip in and make something. And
you got to spend money to make money, Chris.
Do you?
Yes.
I guess I'm never going to be making any money at any point in my life.
And the year 2009, it doesn't cost a whole lot to actually make a real CD.
Excellent. Well, this is very exciting. This is a Tryptophan Destroy Fashion. And what is the official release date? Is it officially out now? Can people get this from you now if they want?
If you go to the website tryptophanmusic.com, there's a link to go to CD Baby, and you could buy it as a download, or you could actually buy a hard copy of it.
Uh-huh.
And tomorrow I'll have them at our show. We're performing tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night is the, I guess, a record release party of sorts?
Yes, a record release party.
Where is it?
Martini Red on Staten Island.
That would be Martini Red on Van Duzer Street?
372 Van Duzer Street, Staten Island.
Exciting.
Five minutes from the ferry.
If anybody is anywhere near here, or if you're not anywhere near here, fly in immediately and get here and get to the Tryptophan record release party.
And in a few days, we're actually going to have the whole record as a long-form video, too, that Tim Nolan has been putting together. So you'll be able to watch the record. You know,
awesome.
And you know, that's going to be... That should be pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fantastic. This is all you're going to have. This is linked through your website. Is how we're going to be able to get.
Yeah, you can all go. You can find me on Facebook. Facebook Ron E Hill, or you go to Tryptophan Music, or any. You can find me on YouTube. I'm Ron E Hill. RONEHILL.
Nice.
You know,
Ronnie.
It's exciting stuff. This is a good deal. So you seem like almost like a proud dad here, sitting here all excited about the record. You look
I'm excited.
As well, you should be.
The band's been together for 12 years, and we've never actually made a real record. We've played shows, we've made websites.
Right on. The material was there for you to do the record, but you've never actually done it as a proper record release. So
as someone who's been in bands, you understand how personal economy could prevent things like that from happening, and which is what has happened throughout the years. So, you know, this is the first, you know, and this one I worked really, really hard on. I spent a long time making it and mixing it, and, you know, actually one of the first sounds you hear on there is a recording from this show.
Is it really?
On the first song.
Well, on the first song?
I'm not going to tell you where it came from, but it was a sample. The second sound you hear is a sample from this show.
Ooh. Exciting. Is that
would be... actually, the sample from this show bridges the record.
Excellent. This is on the first and last track of the record.
It's on the this was actually two records. If you turn it over, you'll see there's two sets of, well, not the CD, the cover.
Okay.
Destroy Fashion is tracks 1 to 13, and that was the real record. And then we have all these recordings of us playing, you know, making up music and jamming out and doing weird stuff. And we, I made that kind of like a second record, like a little EP. It's bonus tracks.
Excellent.
But I'm calling it a separate record because conceptually the first 13 songs are...
Are one thing. It's one thing for itself.
It's one thing for itself. Okay. I mean, that was the intention, was to put out the record of the first 13 songs. But a CD is 74 minutes, so why waste the other 30 minutes?
Nice. So you get some extra stuff on here. So would you recommend at this point that we play one of these hot tracks off the record that samples that has something from this show on it, or is there another song on the record that you think we should be playing first?
Let me see the actual CD a second.
Sure thing.
Because this song list is on the printed on the CD.
By the way, that's tryptophanmusic.com. That's TRYPTOPHAN.
Sure. The first song's really silly. Why don't you play track one? Track one, two, and three all kind of blend together.
Okay.
Could you actually, when you're playing the CD, could you actually watch the countdown so you know when to fade in and out and stuff? Because the whole record, if you listen to the whole record, every song crossfades from song to song.
Okay.
So there's
you guys are like pros.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like a Pink Floyd or a Sgt. Pepper's style record.
Excellent.
So, but the first three songs are really one song, but you could break them up if you want.
Okay.
So the first song is called the Pancake Song.
The Pancake Song is Tryptophan here on Hear Us Talk. Exciting. Hear them not talk, but make music. Excellent stuff.
That was Steve Pepe playing guitar, the lead guitar there.
Little baby Ronnie, all grown up, making himself a nice fancy record. You did the recording yourself? This is at your studio to record this, or you went?
Yes,
nice.
It was a lot of it was done at my house, but some of it was done at Steve's house. Some of it was done just on location, because in the 21st century, you could go around and record in
right
different
on.
Places.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. It's really good stuff. Pancake, by the way. Cake.
I'm suddenly very hungry for cake.
Pancake.
Yeah,
just keep in mind, that is a cake still. It's not a breakfast food.
Not a cake.
Is a chocolate muffin a cake to you?
A chocolate muffin? It's cake-like, but...
It's not even cake-esque. It's
cake,
a muffin.
Cake tends to have icing.
Oh, see, you're crazy.
No.
You and Brian need to go to you,
no, no,
you and Brian
no, no,
need to go to crazy
have, you
store.
Can have pound cake.
Thank you.
But it's
that's almost sort of, you know, that just sort of squeezes itself into the cake family, if you ask me. If you're going to give me cake, if I'm going to be eating cake, you're going to be wasting time on my cake. If I'm having cake time, there better be icing on it.
When I was a kid, me and my brother, we would my grandmother would get the Sara Lee chocolate cakes, the cold ones. Do you remember? Do you ever see
absolutely,
these cakes?
Absolutely delicious.
And there was always a battle to like who got to lick the pan when the cake was done, and I usually lost. You know, and he usually won because that's the way it worked when we were kids.
It's sad. You know what? You could lick my cake pan anytime that you want, Ron.
Right.
Just so you know, it's a little personal thing. And I know you're a married man now, and I probably shouldn't be offering you things like that. But you know, I am.
Oh, okay. Well,
and congratulations to you, by the way, on being newly betrothed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good stuff. good stuff. So tryptophanmusic.com, Destroy Fashion, and what's the second record called?
Extemporize.
Extemporize. It's going to be a record release party tomorrow night on Staten Island, Martini Red. If you're any place in the tri-state area, if you're any place on the eastern seaboard, if you're any place in the continent, I would get yourself to Staten Island and check this out. It's going to be an exciting time.
Did you guys happen to see this the article that we got in the Staten Island paper today?
I personally did not, as I just came straight from work.
Yeah, I read it. Okay. I read it.
There's definitely some very funny descriptions of me in there that are.
Nice. This is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Was that?
It was. You know, he was cool, but like, you know, just, do you see the sections I'm talking about?
Can I read them?
Sure, you can read. There's some choice parts there. If you want to bring it up on screen? I'll point to the parts that.
So this is well, like the arts and entertainment.
Well, Ben Johnson. Do you remember Ben Johnson?
The name is familiar, but for those of us that aren't Staten Islanders, Ben Johnson is the editor of AWE, AWE or just arts and entertainment in general with the Staten Island Advance, the local paper.
He's the music editor for the AWE section.
Okay,
and a nice enough fella, it turns out.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I've never met the guy. I don't know anything about him.
He was one of the promoters of Rock the Harbor last year.
Oh, which was a fine concert event that I believe someone I know had some event that went that ran against it. If I remember correctly.
It was a tribute to.
Oh, right. It was Rock the Harbor too.
Right.
Very, very exciting.
We harbor no ill will.
That's what it was. It's very exciting.
And I kind of want to do a sequel, but you know we're debating that right now whether or not we're going to actually have a big. Rock concert in my yard again.
Interesting. Oh, I mean, well, you're obviously going to be having the Labor Day event in your backyard again this year, right?
I don't know yet. I have to talk about it with my wife. Why? Would you guys want to do another one?
Well, we probably shouldn't have this discussion on air. We're going to do something.
I'm fine with it as long as I got someone to help me with all the lugging of stuff and, you know.
Okay, well.
There's a little more, you know.
Oh, I still got to come by and do that.
Yeah.
Keith is going to be over tomorrow. Yeah. He swears he's going to clean up tomorrow.
I just need a better commitment from your staff here to help clean up.
All right, guys, you guys got it, right? Everything's covered. Now we'll talk the details. I don't know how we're going to work it because we're going to do some sort of tie-in.
There's a problem that weekend too, I think.
What's that?
I think there's a problem with that weekend.
Why? What is it?
Well, not a problem. Jason Carter's getting married right around then. So I don't know if that weekend's going to be feasible yet.
We'll do it at the same place. We'll meld it. It'll be
the
Labor
birthday
Day,
party, Jay. Labor Day, wedding, barbecue with cake.
And speaking of Labor Day, why don't we hire some day laborers to clean up?
Oh, it'll be fantastic. Okay. It'll be very exciting. We'll go through it. We'll work out all the details of it. This probably isn't the best format to do something like
You know, that. I hate to throw a wrench in the works, but I'm a slave to the chat room. There's been some requests in there to listen to track number 14. I understand it's a very short one, but
this is a composition by Frank Cavallo, our drummer.
Oh, a drummer's composition? I have to hear that.
It's very short. It's really, really short.
Well, he's a drummer.
It's his favorite song on the record, though. So. That's it.
That was called T for Two. Get it? T for two.
T for two.
It's the melody. T for two.
Oh.
I thought that was a fine song.
So I've pulled up the article that is in – this is in the AWE magazine.
Yeah, you can actually read this on the internet right now too.
Yeah, it's on SILive.com.
It's on our webpage. There's a link to it.
Okay.
If you go to tryptophanmusic.com, you could read the whole article. But there's one paragraph in particular that you know.
And basically it says, likewise, Hill, just married – with gray hair, a moon-shaped face, and an audible lisp, doesn't look or sound the part of a stereotypical rock star. But then again, band fronting may not be his best musical attribute.
Thanks. Whoa. Thanks. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Weren't you saying it seems like a nice enough guy wrote the article for you? Yeah,
well, he says a lot of the nice things in there, but, you know.
I mean, I do have an
audible lisp. I mean, it's very, you know, hard for me to even sit here and talk, because if I listen to this recording later, I'm going to want to throw my radio out the window.
Oh, don't be a silly goose. You sound gorgeous. Don't even think
I'm
anything
much,
about
I'm a much better singer.
Don't be a silly goose. This won't be coming through a radio.
Okay. you know, a device. Some type of high-tech 20, yeah.
I just don't get the whole as compliment. Well, I think he's a jerk and he stinks real bad and I hate his face, but hey, he's got a good record. You know, it seems less than complimentary. I think we should hunt him down and kick his ass.
It's not bad for a guy who shouldn't be in a band.
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait, thanks a lot, pal. I think it's a lot better than something that's not bad. Good. Wait, what? I don't know how to say it. It sounds good. It sounds fantastic. I really dig it.
I hope you could listen to the whole thing later.
I have every intention of. I look forward to it. Something else we should we throw on the air for the folks to listen to?
You want to put another song?
I would love to.
All right, hang on a second.
I would love to. It's almost like the record release party before the record release party, so we can get some stuff out there.
Sure. Anyone who's anyone was not listening to the show.
Do you want like play song number 9? This song's called "The Awful Page."
Dedicated to our friends, The Awful Hour, former luminaries on the Heroes Talk Network.
Yeah, sure.
It's amazing how you kept reading her letters. Read between the lines and made me feel no better. And all the lines come from books up on the shelf.
Come on, wow. Yeah, and you said a curse, too, on top of it, you animal. It's Best of Show, bestofshowradio.com here on Heroes Talk with our buddy Ron here. It's Tryptophan, tryptophanmusic.com. Their record release party is tomorrow night at Martini Red here on Staten Island. We're enjoying some of the fine tracks off the new record.
Any appearance by Terrible Tim?
I mean, he might come to the show.
No, I mean on the album.
Oh, no Terrible Tim.
You limited it to your actual band that's on the record.
We have a few guests on the record, but I'm no Terrible Tim.
Okay,
Will Shalda plays on a track. Who's in a band called Pablo?
Nice.
Who's a great piano player? And you know him well.
Indeed.
He's been in a New York band called the Realistics that came this close to being stars.
The next big thing.
Yeah, and he's in a great band called Pablo. They were supposed to play, but they had to cancel tomorrow. So there's another band playing called Paragraph, who's a terrific local Staten Island band.
Excellent. And this will all be tomorrow night at Martini Red.
Very good stuff.
All the songs on the record, these are. I know you said it took you 5 years to put together. These are all things written over the past 5 years. These are older songs, newer songs.
Some of the songs are almost 8 or 9 years old.
Okay.
They're like the pancake song was something that me and Frank just like kind of made up when I first moved in with my wife back in the year 2000. like, and we just developed it into a real song. It was a goof, mm-hmm. and it just turned into a really long, epic 8-minute long song.
Goof.
You know, again, we kept structuring it and made it sillier and sillier and sillier as time went on. Some songs are straightforward, serious, things that are emotional, real things to me, and some of them are ridiculous comedy. But you
don't think the ridiculous comedy stuff isn't still real emotional to you?
Of course,
as well, it's just a different,
of
a different
course
level
it is.
Of emotion.
It's all the whole record's meant to be listened to as one thing.
Okay,
you know, it's we're breaking it up into parts here, but you know the general idea is just listen to it for 40 minutes and make up your own mind.
Art takes time, Chris. I mean, something like T for Two just doesn't happen just like that.
T for Two is part of Extemporize, actually.
That's 9 years. That's 9 years in the making. You have to. That's. I mean, you can't rush genius.
The record, you know, the shape was. I had it together 3 years ago, but just adding additional overdubs and. Yeah, I'm doing this as
getting the thing to exactly what you wanted it to be, and having it every piece of it, every player.
I'm not a pro engineer, so it took a long time to actually get it to sound like I wanted it to sound.
Could have fooled me. It sounds fantastic. I think it sounds great.
It took a long time to get there. You know, I kept mixing and mixing and mixing and.
So the next record is coming out in 2052. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're getting at?
No, I mean, I feel like
you like this, don't expect another record ever because it's not coming.
No, I feel like I got to a point where I can now work fast.
Okay,
it was I did a lot of projects while this was happening. Like we did that concert, and you know,
you were remastering things. I mean, really,
I was remastering things. As I went. I made two records with Joey Sims. You know, we put on that show. I mean, that was like a week of my life doing that one show. We did two shows last summer, and so it was like 2 weeks of just prepping.
Right on.
Mowing the lawn and picking up the dog poop. I'm surprised Vanessa's not here. I thought she was in town tonight. What happened?
Vanessa has been sort of absent from the show as of late. It's been a couple of weeks since she's been on.
She was out west, right?
Yeah, she's all over the place. She'll be back on soon, I'm sure.
Okay.
It's okay. It's all right. Everything's sensual and emotional. It's nothing wrong.
We'll see if we can wrangle her for the Labor Day.
I'm sure we will.
That's what he's suggesting.
So when you're trying to Does it annoy you when like you have the? I mean, I know you enjoy like doing stuff for other bands, but does it get like annoying when it cuts into like your time that like you know you think you could be working on this?
No, because I get frustrated and I have to stop sometimes and like just put it down and get back to it. I mean, I like working with other people; it gives me ideas. I don't have to think about making my own thing sound good and making someone else's thing sound good. It makes me more responsible.
I think you almost enjoy the distraction or the
I don't think it's a distraction. It's inspirational.
Or the breaks in staying with one thing the entire time.
I could have gotten it done a lot faster if I just didn't have a job.
I was just going to say. I think Keith wants to ask: does your job get in the way of doing?
Well, my real job. I mean, once again, this is I have a job. Like I have to go to work every day of the week.
Oh, I'm not even counting that. Talking about strictly
just working with other people. You mean like? Yeah. I mean, I like doing it. I wish I could do more of that. It's just there's only so much time in the day.
That's what I think what he's touching on is you've got a limited amount of time that you can actually play and make music. Do you feel like a lot of it is being spent on other people's stuff?
No. I mean, I could spend more time on other people's things. Yeah. You know, I all the guys that are in another band. What is Chris doing over here?
He's an artist as well.
I'm being inspired by your art, and I'm not going to stop. I'm unstoppable. I'm inspired by your art, and as I'm going on, and I'm trying to incorporate you into my.
Do you have a webcam on that? Why don't you?
No. This doesn't go on webcam. This gets published after the fact on our blog over at blog.herostalk.com.
That would be something to let people see the creation as it happened.
Nothing sacred.
It's really, really, it's really something.
There are things that happen all over the place. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's a process, you know, and you don't want to let the entire audience into the process.
Okay, no, it's fine. You know? They're gonna be really pleased with this, actually. It really does say a lot about the times we live in.
Well, obviously, I'm making a very political statement with every stroke as I go on.
But, I love working with other artists, and I wish that there was a way to make music full-time. It's anybody who works in music knows that this is it's a field where you're basically giving it away now.
Yeah.
Unless you're a performer who's out there performing shows, there are very few people in the world who actually can make money recording and making records and stuff. So that's sort of what the record's about, is you know the, doing it for the sake of doing it, not doing it for the sake of trying to make a dollar out of
get signed, man. We're going to make it. This is the summer for the band. We're getting signed to Megaforce Records, and we're taking on the globe.
That's still a thing for a lot of people. Everyone's looking for the magic guy to come along and pick them up out of their existence and put them on the road, and, you know.
I only make fun of it because I stopped doing that like 10 minutes ago, I think, give or take, and now I just worry about it for a radio show. So I think it's the same concept.
It's the same concept, but it's you know, you have to just do – you need to do what you need to do, and there's outlets now. You could do these things and find an audience. You know, like you guys made a radio show and – you found an audience. You got out there and you did it.
We're still looking, actually. We're still looking for our
audience. We'll eventually get two to three people, I'm thinking, that'll actually listen to this. It'll be exciting.
I listen sometimes.
How many people are in the chat room right now?
1,491, actually. 1,491 people in the chat room today. I don't know. Just a few.
Give or take 1,400.
That's something.
or 18. It depends. It's all a matter of how you do the math.
I don't have my glasses on.
Do you have different chat rooms, you guys?
We're all over the place. We're at hearustalk.com, which is obviously the radio conglomerate of a lifetime that takes over the world. We're in the Hear Us Talk radio chat room in Pal Talk. And you know, this lives on forever in podcast and in download form where people get
that. Yeah, it's just like syndication.
Except different.
Yeah.
But there's such a parallel like that I always see between, like, it is the same idea. Like, at some point, we've discussed in the past, at some point trying to, like, come to terms with, you know, if you know today that, you know, this is the extent of where this is going to go, be it radio or band, are you okay with it? And I think
100%.
You know, 100%. And I think we've come to terms with that. And
we're not getting signed.
Once again, you guys like
we don't get, even play get, songs.
You guys like getting together and doing it. You know, doing the show. I mean, it's. I mean, you guys do it every week. You know, sometimes twice a week, right? I mean, there's a.
There's a certain amount of
you get a lot of satisfaction from this, don't you?
I personally do, but I think most of them
you don't have to carry amplifiers anymore either.
Not only once. We carry them once and that's it. And then they stay here and they don't go anyplace after that.
I mean that's a very important thing, is not having to carry the amp.
But I was talking a couple weeks ago about we know a lot of people that are still in bands that are, you know, I don't know if they're having fun, but I think their intent is still, you know, getting signed, you know,
of course.
We're gonna go on a tour, and it's. I mean, I don't want to come off like a jerk, but
too late.
If you're at the age we're at now, you should also. That's fine. Obviously, you should have that goal, I guess, but you should also make sure that you're still enjoying it and getting enjoyment out of it. Because if you're just, you know, busting your ass for the sake of getting signed, what is getting signed even exist anymore? I don't even know how that works.
I think all the record labels.
Megaforce Records still exists. That's all I care about.
Now you get a 360 deal where they sign you, but and they finance you to go on a tour, and they finance the tour, and they finance the merchandise, and all the things that the artists used to keep just for themselves. Someone bank it, you know, running a brokerage scheme on. You know, so every aspect of the artist's income is now taken by these big corporations.
Bastards.
And you know, that's just the way things work, I guess.
And it's I'm sorry, Chris. This is very local, but Chris has in an attempt, I think, to draw Ron, has drawn a friend of ours, Paul Bruno.
Yeah, I think so too. halfway through.
But anyway. Yeah, I don't know, and not to get into this necessarily, but like...
Well, that really is Paul Bruno bad.
It is a bad Paul Bruno.
Hey, this is my second radio interview about music. My first one was on your old college
radio show. I was just thinking of that earlier.
Do you have a recording of that somewhere?
I definitely have a recording of Keith interviews Cannibal Overdrive on...
That was on public airwaves, though. That was not an internet...
You mean real radio?
It was.
What are you saying?
There was frequency modulation.
The local college radio station was you know, it still is very, very lo-fi.
Is that station still? Every time I pass by, that's the left of the dial area, and that station always seems to be trying to mimic like the local disco freestyle station, which I guess is what you know.
I only know of one show. There's a guy who actually plays local bands, and I got to get him a CD. And
the Rockle Rock Show.
What is it called?
I have no idea.
That's it.
Oh, it's the Rocco Rock Show. It's DJ Rocco Vincent. It's very exciting stuff.
Steve, actually.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know why he calls it Rocco Rock.
It's weird. Yeah, I to be 100% honest, in today's age, I don't really listen to the radio. I listen to stuff that I download specifically. I listen to talk shows that I download, and I listen to music. That's really it. And I will say that I'll be listening to the new Tryptophan record. That's going to be the new thing that I'm going to be adding to my MP3 player tonight when I get home. And I'll spend it. Would you recommend the 40 minutes tomorrow in the drive in the car? Do you think
sure.
I need to sit with headphones someplace?
No, I think you could put it on the background.
Yeah? Well, yeah. It's not going to be in the background. I mean, I'll be listening, but I'll also be driving. Should I be focusing?
It sounds good in a car.
Okay.
That was one of the reasons it took so long. Is when I was mixing it, I would put on crappy headphones. I would play through a rotten boombox. I'd play in a car. I would just play it anywhere, and whenever something an instrument would stick out too much in one radio, I'd go and try to fix it.
You know, and then it sounds terrible in the other ones, and then you have to go back and bounce.
Eventually, I got it sounding good on the worst speakers and on really good speakers, and that was the trick.
Wow, that's dedication.
I'm
trying to get a record that sounds good in places. That's what I'm working on.
Well, I figure all my friends have crappy equipment, so I just got to make sure it sounds good on crap.
Well, that's one of the things about making records is that if it sounds good on crappy equipment, it'll probably sound good on good equipment.
Dynamite on good equipment.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I mean,
equipment.
That's you know, you figure most people in the world have crappy equipment. Most people are going to be listening to the downloads through their little speakers on their notebooks.
Okay. I'll let you know tomorrow, Ronnie, when it gets onto my Microsoft Zune, the most high-tech piece of equipment this side of an abacus.
Is that a brown Zune?
Yes, it is a brown Zune because I love brown, and I think it'll be a. Wait a minute! I've finally come out, but yeah, I look forward to getting it on there.
The brown Zunes are very unique.
Oh,
yes, they only play in the left channel.
It's well, sometimes depends. It depends on the car.
The headphone jack's broken on that.
Yeah, it's a piece of crap. A piece of crap.
I'm sorry. Did you get that cheap?
Yes, it fell off a truck, literally. And I picked it up off the floor, taped it together, and now I listen to it.
I got a question about your live setup, or actually like what you choose to play at this point.
Sure.
Like, tomorrow must be the first gig after this is released.
We don't really gig a lot. Everyone in my band is in another band called The Headlocks, and they play constantly. They played on the show last year.
Yep.
And they're working a lot. And I just got married, and I was making a record, and you know, that was taking up a lot of time. And we don't gig a whole lot. Tomorrow we're playing the record. We're going to play
It's the record.
The first 13 songs we're going to play, and then a couple more.
So you're going to give people the experience of the record live.
A live version of the record.
You're going to play the record and lip sync.
That's what you do.
Two months ago, when Frank couldn't come to a gig, we actually took all his drums and made a track, and we played guitar and bass on top of a track of Frank. Like, we played the record.
Nice.
We have a backing track with all the samples and sound effects. And that was torturous. It was
the Robotron 2000 was playing.
It was very hard. It was you know, you couldn't stop. The thing was rolling, and you know, if you, you know, when you play in a band with a drummer, you could speed up, you could slow down.
Can I make a recommendation next time? Stop button. Try a stop button or pause.
You can't pause in the middle of a song.
Yeah.
If you got yourself a Microsoft Zune and actually played it through that, you'd be aces. It would work out perfectly.
It worked out good. It was.
I'm sure it did.
It was a strange. It was, you know.
So when we were listening to a couple of these songs, you do hear some effects on there, and I imagine like you don't have a keyboardist. How are those effects going to come out?
The band is a live band. It's just two guitars, a bass, and drums.
Yeah. So where's the bleeping and blurping and screeching
be a little bit of samples being played through like an iPod or something.
Live sampling as well.
A little bit, not too much.
DJ Jazzy Rony Hill is going to be
nice.
Most of the songs exist as songs. You could just play with guitars. You know,
yeah.
But it's a record, so
it's
record,
like a hip hop, real hip hop vibe. You know, you're going
this
for.
This actually is a real hip hop vibe because it was all mixed on a computer. Mm-hmm. I would move some beats around a little bit here and there, and I would cut things up a little bit, and you know, I would fix little notes. The production of it was very much a modern record.
Did you ever kill anybody?
I might have killed a cat.
Because that's obviously what hip-hop means to me, is did you kill?
I might have killed a cat this winter. I opened the garage a few weeks ago and found a dead cat.
I thought this was going to be a joke.
One of your cats or like a stray cat?
It was a stray cat. And I think maybe it went in there to die, or maybe I closed the garage door.
If it didn't go in there to die, it got it to do it anyway.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I forgot. Flashing back to Labor Day. Chris, can you let that cat out of Ron's garage?
Whoops. Whoopsie. So what do you do when you find a dead cat?
I buried it.
You picked it up? Do you actually touch it?
No. I
shovel?
I got a garbage bag and I picked
trebuchet.
I picked up. I kind of wrapped it with a garbage bag and put it in a garbage pail lid, and then I dug a hole and I planted it next to our other dead cats.
So did you give it a gravestone?
It has a stone, yes.
Did you say some words?
No, he's the unknown cat.
Did you put on the gravestone the unknown cat?
We don't have any more. The graves don't have. We're going to get it. We have these gravestones that are just like these angel cats that Nadine likes to buy. And
Nadine, you're a lovely blushing bride.
Yes.
Okay.
Have two of them for the cats.
Ashamed. Totally ashamed.
We have two of them for the cats that did pass away, and we're going to get one for this guy. But we don't have a name for him. He's you know.
Why wouldn't you don't want to put names there?
Well, we know who's buried where. Just, you know, they're.
If I got you gravestones with names on them, would you put them there?
Of course. Henry and Tinkerbell.
No, they would have to have different names.
No.
Rock
and name? Ricky.
Do you want to name the dead cat?
Absolutely.
What's his name?
Dead cat.
A black and white cat.
Oh, a black and white cat. Black and white cat is what it'll say.
Black and white cat. Okay.
Black and white cat, we hardly knew ye, is what
I'll
put on.
I didn't know him at all.
Well, hardly.
Hardly.
Didn't hardly know him.
Black and white cat, never forget.
That's right. Awesome. It's bestofshow.com. Here on Heroes Talk, we're talking to our buddy Ron from Tryptophan, tryptophanmusic.com. Their record release party is tomorrow night on Staten Island at Martini Red. If you're any place in the New York area, I'd recommend coming down and checking out. It's going to be a good time. They put on a fantastic show, and it's from what I'm hearing, I've only heard a couple tracks so far. I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of it. It sounds like a fantastic record, and I think it's going to be a good time.
Can we do another one?
I wish we would.
All right, what do you got?
All right, hang on. Let me
He's telling us over and over again, this listening to this record should be this from beginning to end. Yeah, it's an experience. Keep cherry picking. Let's keep cherry picking. Let's get it out of order and screw up as much for everyone.
So, I mean, do you want to play what length of song?
How about this? Why don't you pick one of the ones off of Extemporate? Is that the second?
They're all very long.
Let's not do that instead.
Because Key for Two was very short.
Right, that was the shortest one, but the rest of them are like ridiculously long.
Ronnie, you tell us what we should.
And
be
they're
doing.
Instrumentals. You could probably play those. We could talk over them, you know, because they're instrumentals. They're like background.
Fantastic, fantastic. Rob, pick one of the ones off the end of the record.
Put track 15 on.
How
track
we 15, roll
and keep it a little low, and we'll talk and we'll hang out.
This is an instrumental track. So this is
Interesting. This is what we should have been doing for the whole interview.
I didn't think of it.
Well, honestly, this is why I hate you, and I'm never talking to you again.
This is our
responsibility.
This is live in our basement. This is like us. This
Hold on. Let's pot it up just for a second, just to take it in.
Pot it up. This really is like Red's blood.
That's Steve Peppy playing guitar.
I'm telling you right there, I felt like I won for a second there.
Frank Cavallo playing drums.
Do you get the idea of a victory part there? Like, that was a victory part. They won.
I get some Skinner out of this.
Hang on. No, stop. Skinner. Don't be so rude, all right?
I say Breeders. I say it's Breeders.
I feel like they're winning right there.
We were winning.
And still are. And you're going to win tomorrow night at Martini Red, Staten Island.
We're going to win.
Van
you know what? I don't think that's being rude. If that's what he likes and that's what it reminds him of.
What is?
Skinner.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I just get Skinner.
Someone accused us of liking the Grateful Dead, which is just not true, from some of the other tracks that were on this record. And I never listened to the Grateful Dead. I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, I don't think you're missing anything.
I'm just, but I was accused of that. I guess it was like very self-indulgent.
Jamming,
yeah, we're jamming.
Jam rock.
All the stuff here in pink is jam rock. The songs that are in the pink section.
In the pink section, that would be extemporate.
Extemporize.
Extemporize. See, you got to correct me because I'm dumb. Awesome. Tryptophanmusic.com. What are you about to say?
I was going to say that I was always told to listen to the first Grateful Dead album, but I didn't.
Don't worry about it.
No. Nothing special.
Just wait for the next one to come out. Listen to that one.
Jerry Garcia's new one.
Just listen to Tryptophan Extemporized. You have to listen to this.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
There's some wah-wah pedal going on there.
You're really like a, what do you call one of those things?
Homo?
Guitar. A person that plays music in a band. I think it's great.
I have to find.
I'm going to throw another track on. Just
sure.
I have to find the interview.
That's how we roll.
I have to find.
Do you want to play an actual song, or do you want to play some of this more instrumental?
If I were to choose from the titles, I would go for track number 11, "Hook a Brother Up."
Oh yeah, that's a good song. Okay. It's a little long, so do you want to fade it down at some point? I mean, I can tell you when to fade it down.
Yeah, fine.
There's a big guitar solo at the end, but you know, I don't know. We could just play the verse part. Just hook a brother up.
I am so hooking up with a chick right now.
You need that big bass monitor.
Turn left.
Turn back on, I'm scared.
This song is inspired by a guy named Larry Johnson.
LJ and Larry Johnson.
Yes, Golden Age.
Catchphrase, wasn't it?
Yes. Chris, I'm sending this chord out to you.
Just turn it to Somehow Chris is Ron Hill drawing as Paul Bruno in like a devil cake.
Paul Bruno DJ'd my wedding.
I don't even understand why you guys are talking so much about my painting. I'm just expressing it.
How does it feel listening to your own voice and your own music in sort of like a live venue? Like with you're on the radio, people are actually listening to this. And
awkward.
Yeah, right. A little bit. It's gotta be a little freaky.
Once again, I don't. When I'm sitting around at home and I can torture my friends and make them listen to things,
right?
It's fine. And I don't mind talking about it. How do you explain it?
I don't know. That seems like there was. If I'm trying to put myself in your shoes at this point, I think I'd be a little kind of weirded out by the situation.
It is what it is.
Yeah. No, you should be proud of it.
This is part of it, isn't it? You're supposed to go and talk about your music in the interview.
You're absolutely right.
I can't imagine.
I just wish I gave you guys a copy of this last week, so you know, we could have heard some songs.
Done a pre-record release party?
Well, just had some questions about some of the. The material, or you know, I'm dropping this on you cold.
What's the most sultry and inappropriate song topic that you have?
I'm pretty clean on this.
It doesn't have to be sexy. When I say sultry, I just mean
inappropriate.
Teeth or two?
Not necessarily inappropriate, but what's the most uncomfortable topic that you're getting into at any point?
One of
darkness.
One of the songs talks about a guy who goes around and sets bums on fire. You know?
Unfortunately, yes, I do.
That's mentioned.
Yeah, I would say, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's darkness. That's the stuff that I dig.
That's a real life thing, and it's like supposedly a real thing, and it's not. You know, I'm not saying. You know, it's obviously a bad thing, and it's somebody did once that we knew. And
did you give it a cute name title? Like,
what's that?
Did you give it a cute title to make fun of it? Like,
it's hot hobos. No. It's one of the
hot hobo heat.
It's one of the lyrics in the song. I mean, a lot of the lyrics in the songs, right. I mean, are just they come from things that people I've met and stories and
So that's, yeah. I mean, how would you, that's, would you describe your lyrical songwriting like? Just storytelling, essentially?
There's a lot of fiction, obviously, because they talk about time travel and pancakes and...
Well, you know, still, but then, still storytelling.
Pancakes are real.
Yeah, of course. I weave in stuff from my real life and I make up stuff.
Okay. You
know, it's all grounded in my life because it's an expression of my brain. I don't know.
But it's nothing is it all transient that it goes like from one to the other? That it's one thing. Is there anything that is specifically autobiographical for you or specifically
the whole
crazy
thing.
Story?
I mean, because
it just goes back and forth with everything.
No, the whole record is a story in a journal and a. You know, there's not a narrative per se, but there are running themes and there are some sounds and there are different things that refer to other songs. I mean, I have references all the songs I've written throughout my life. I'll refer back to another song. I'll have references to lyrical references that tie things together.
Nice.
You know, if I actually, you know, if I ever got famous, maybe one of those guys could like make the chart of how this song is connected to this song. You know.
I think Brian's up for the job. I think Brian just volunteered for the test. He's ready to go.
Keith would probably understand some, but there's probably some like lyrical references to like Cannibal Overdrive songs, or I don't know.
You've totally set a bum on fire before, haven't you?
No, not me. Not me. It's just someone else.
Awesome. It's Trip to Fans record release party tomorrow night on Staten Island at Martini Red over on Van Duser Street. It's going to be an outrageous time. The new Tryptophan record that you can get at tryptophanmusic.com.
It's on CD Baby. That's where you can really buy it.
Oh, you can CD Baby?
Yes. That's,
yo, it's on CD Baby.
What's up,
son? That website, CD Baby. But you go to Tryptophan Music, there'll be a link.
There's links. Yeah, I don't know all about this internet thing. I don't know how it all works out. I don't know about CD Baby.
It's some big music retail website for independent artists.
Okay.
That everyone loves and they pay very fairly and
oh, nice. That's pretty exciting.
Easy to get into.
They
accepted me.
I know you record a lot with other people, but do you have stacks of tapes of stuff? Just you alone stuff?
Endless. I mean, I make demos and come up with song ideas and, you know, 10% of every song that I ever write gets heard.
Because I was wondering recently, I was thinking about like, think of some of your favorite musicians. Like, think of if, for example, like, I always wondered, like, if Syd Barrett had been doing that for the last, like, 40 years or so before he died, like, just sitting in his room recording, like, how great it would be to get, like, those tapes. Or even, like...
Do you think, or do you think it would just be a garbled mess of
I'm sure
nonsense?
A lot of it would be, but I'm sure a
I
lot
got,
of it would be.
I got news for you. Listen to that, the John Frusciante solo record.
And he's put out, like, 40 records.
But the first record that he put out after getting fired by the... or quitting the Chili Peppers before, while he was a full-on junkie right. and a mess. The second half of that record is a garbled mess, and I love it. I and love the garbled mess aspect of yeah. it. I love the fact that it's like a tape running in a room while he's randomly doing stuff. And then, hey, let's flip the tape over and start doing backwards. Yeah. And just, I love that.
But think about it. That's probably the 10% out of the 90% of garbage that made it through the filter.
I don't know, man.
John Frusciante's put out like 40 albums.
Yeah,
so
yeah
like,
since. I agree. Yeah. I don't know. But that first record really is not very filtered at all. If it is, that would be shocking to me. That would be really shocking.
But think about it. Think about anyone. Like, as much as stuff that actually gets released, like, think of, I was thinking recently, because, like, David Bowie, since he was sick, hasn't released anything. But you know he's got, like, all kinds of recording equipment in his house and a guitar. You know he's definitely been, like, recording songs.
But there's I come up with a lot of song ideas, and then I go back and listen to it, and I can't stand it. You know,
those are the ones you got to release.
Well,
that self-censor is always going to tell you something that's too corny, that's not good. You know, it's like,
then I'll have song ideas, and I'll bring it to the band, and they'll be like, no way. They're like, that stinks, you know, and...
But you keep them.
I mean, I have the demos.
You have demo versions of them.
I have hours and hours and hours and hours of music on my computer.
So when does the Ronnie Hill show start?
Actually, I have a project that's long gestating, which I don't know when I'm going to put out, called The History of Music. And The History of Music, you know, at the moment, there's 7 or 8 CDs I've actually organized and laid out. And, you know, like all the stuff I did before I was in bands, like my 4-track. And a lot of it is just pure dreck. But I did it. We made it. We mixed it. You know, I used to have a 4-track recorder, and we would record songs, me and my friends, and we'd mix them down. And, you know, I didn't have a band. Mm-hmm. And I took all that stuff a few years ago and put it all together. So I have this, like, theoretical project called The History of Music. That one day I'm going to release.
So that one will be the one that comes out in 2052 then.
No,
the follow-up.
I mean, it's just, you know, I'm just waiting for like the web server space to be at the right price. And
but you, you know, even some of that hits the sensor. Like, he isn't going to absolutely put everything you've ever made. Like, you're going to henpeck from the best of...
I polished as many turds as possible. You know, and there's some things there that
so are no unpolished turds then?
What's that?
Could you put out a record unpolished turds?
No, once again,
and
everything I do is a polished turd. So that's kind of the way I look at a lot of this.
I got to say, as a friend, not as just a jerk. Wait, I'm still a jerk, but as a friend and a jerk, this bit of polished turds that you put together is pretty fantastic from what I'm hearing here, and I really dig it, and I think everybody should check it out. Head over to tryptophanmusic.com or CD Baby. Get the new Tryptophan record, Destroy Fashion, tomorrow night on Staten Island. Get to Martini Red. Enjoy the record release party. I think it's great stuff.
Would you like to hear a nice song? Would you like to hear a nice song?
Let's put together what the song that you think is the best song to play us out, because
this is actually a very nice song to play us out. It's called track number 13. It's called Someday Soon.
Excellent.
And you know, someday soon you'll have another episode of the show.
Indeed. I think it'll be next Thursday. Next Thursday here. It's Best in Show.
We'll bark at the moon. Our feet will be on the path. Our time drinking bottles of wine, walking hand in hand on the grass. There'll be no telephones, no internet zones. Just me and you and the dogs all alone. Someday soon we'll bark at the moon and the whole world can kiss our ass. Someday soon I'll ride the band a tune and they can play the bass and the drums. I'll sing a double poem and I'll stagger my rhymes. Perfect strokes presented in sets. I'll play my guitar, I'll bend the strings really far. Record it on up and we'll send it to Mars. Someday soon I'll ride the band a tune. It gives us a reason to escape from the moon.
Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. We'll see you guys here next Thursday. This Tuesday night, it's the DJ New Style Show. Next Wednesday, it's movie night once again with 100K Presents. Special thanks to our buddy Monty for calling in. Special thanks to our buddy Ronnie for coming in. Tryptophan tomorrow night, record release party on Staten Island at Martini Red. And don't forget the Vagabond Souls on July 24th at the Bitter End on Bleecker Street. It's exciting. We'll see you guys next week. Cocky Socks, Steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.